listening to Nowhere Mulberry, film, television, pop culture. It's where you find it.
Let's talk about how beautiful angels are.
No, I'm not an angel.
Are you a fairy?
Fairies aren't real either.
Are you an elephant?
Transmission? It sounds like a little girl is on our comm channel.
Aww.
What should the Batman say now? Should it be a code word like...
Begin Operation Hot Zone Kill.
No, that sounds stupid. What about a number? What's like an evil-sounding number? Well, 666. No, that's too obvious. How about just execute Order 6?
Execute Order 6.
No, that's too simple. It makes it sound like they don't get that many orders to begin with. What about Order 66?
Execute Order 66.
Okay, that works. Let's move on.
About there.
Father must be very proud.
I wouldn't know. He's out of sight, out of mind.
I see. So I take it you're not married?
No.
That's too bad.
Well, yeah, I prefer it that way. I don't need a man telling me what to do.
What about the baby?
I got it under control.
But it's gonna burn.
What'd you just say?
I said your fucking baby's gonna burn.
A monster! A monster! A monster! A Gorville! A Gorville! A Gorville!
It's go time!
This is gonna
Four.
Hey, 2011. Woo! Yeah! We're back. Yay. Yeah. Everybody, it's me, the J-Strom, here from the pop culture district of the Mulberry Town.
I forgot how to do this thing.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome to 2011. Let's introduce other people. Steven, the pop culture zealot, here to my left. Wait, Steven, you were... Steven, the pop culture zealot.
Hey!
Yeah, there you go. We also have here Laura, the Mulberry... producer.
What?
Mulberry line producer.
Hey.
No, I got it.
What?
Laura, the Mulberry gaffer.
I'm a gaffer?
We also have...
You get to have tape.
Oh, okay.
We also have here Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry historian. Hey, Bill, how's it going?
I want to be a gaffer.
Okay, you can be the gaffer.
That sounds like fun.
What do you I like gaffer's tape. It's awesome.
You guys want to say hi to the audience, huh?
Hi, audience.
Hey. Hey. How's it going? We're back.
I like the in-house audience.
I do.
So great to be back. That's funny, Steven. Damn. Oh, come on. Okay, sit down, guys. We got to start the show.
I didn't know we were that funny. Yes, we are.
Yeah, hey.
Especially you.
Especially me.
All right, guys. Let's settle down. Are they doing the wave or something? What's going on? All right.
That one was for Bill.
Settle down. Okay. Is there a pause sign stuck to on?
Even his handing out now and later to everybody.
Foggy, turn it off. What? It's stuck. Turn it off. All right. Well,
that's the show.
Turn it off. Turn the thing off.
Thanks.
It's a new year. We wanted to start fresh. No mess ups. It's already ruined.
Right at the beginning.
Turn it off.
Did Tony make this sign for us?
How's it going, Bill?
What?
Turn it off!
Wow.
Thank you.
They are happy to have us back.
It's not... Hey, everybody! How's it going? Woo-hoo! Oh, that was pretty funny. I'm tired. Well, thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Is the show over?
I think so.
I think it is.
You know what? I wanted to tell everybody, the first thing I want to do is pimp the Best of Nowhere and Mulberry show. I promise you it'll be coming out next week. I'm almost done with it. And, you know, if people, hopefully somewhere someone wants to listen to this. But I got to tell you, a couple of people have already donated for it. And it made me feel bad. It's like, I'm working on it. I promise you. And
Nothing worse than premature donation.
Hey, I'll take a donation anytime. But the thing is, when you're planning a clip show, the one thing you forget about is you have to actually listen to all the shows to remember to hear those parts and go, oh, yeah, this would be good. So that's a lot of shows to listen to. So it's taken a while. And plus, you know, the holidays majorly got in the way. I mean, you know, I wanted to enjoy the holidays, but it was hard to work on stuff. So I've been doing it lately and I've found some stuff that's really cracked me up. And, Bill, I've sent you a few things. I played something for Laura. I hope people dig it. So I'm going to just say that when it comes out, I'll announce it on Twitter and Facebook, whatever, hopefully, and put it in the forum. Hopefully people would like to listen to it. And mainly, this is the kind of thing that it's for a donation. It helps support the show. And, for example... Now, Bill.
Now, Jason.
I've told you about this. The Dark Tower book shows.
Okay.
They are. They're on Podomatic, and it's on a free account. Which gives,
oh, you mean the ones we've already done?
Right. Okay. They give you about 15 gigabytes a month, which is fine. It's always been fine. You know, people could download it whenever they want. It keeps going. It's just set up there. Never have to worry about it. Well, lately I get these messages from Podomatic. You've exceeded your bandwidth limit. Please expand to a higher grade tier of bandwidth. And it was like January 8th or something. And you get it for the month. And it was already past 15 gigabytes. It's like 15 point something gigabytes. I was like, what the hell? Who the hell's listening to these episodes this much? What the hell's going on? And I haven't been able to figure it out because, you know, they've been out for a while. I can understand if somebody found them on iTunes or something, but it's kind of crazy. I don't know what's going on there. So if people are listening to them,
I don't know what to tell you.
So if people are listening to them, I hope you enjoy them. But I'm not paying for more bandwidth. Just let it reset if you haven't got to listen to it. Because we already have the regular feed going, which I pay for. So if people would like to help support the No Worm Mulberry, the show, the podcast, the live show, whatever, pay for Steven's parking tickets, donate. And get this awesome Best of Nowhere Own Mulberry show, Steven.
So I can double park out, you know, when I'm out of town.
Yeah, park in front of a hydrant or whatever you want to do.
He always uses the handicap spots.
Bill, pay for your licorice addiction. Right?
And that, you know how much Dr. Drew charges for those
right
rehab visits. So,
like, I don't know if you guys have watched that show where strange things people are addicted to. Have you ever seen that?
Ugh, yeah, I was watching. I saw the previews for it. And
I saw one commercial where the lady was addicted to eating toilet paper, and I was just like,
And she likes 2-ply because she could peel it apart and eat it. You know, it melts in her mouth or something. Yeah, I was watching that the other day.
That is weird.
Yeah, the lady who eats detergent, laundry detergent.
Yeah,
what the hell was that?
How does that not kill you?
Does she use like one of those Fun Dip?
Fun Dip?
No, she like eats it like with her hands, like full on shove it in her mouth.
She doesn't at least put it on like cereal.
She opens
or something?
Up a box of Tide and goes, "Oh, they gave me an eating utensil."
Awesome. You know,
it tells me how much I'm eating.
Amazing.
Wow. Yeah.
Half
if
cup.
They didn't want me to eat it, they wouldn't put the scoop in.
Did you guys all have a great holiday pretty much? Did you guys have a good time? Or are you just glad it's over? Kind
of.
Put me in the glad it's over category.
Yeah, I'm glad it's over.
I mean, I was on vacation for the 2 weeks there, and I did nothing. I felt useless.
That's good. That's a good vacation.
It was great.
I'd say I was in a funk over the break, and I just need to stay in a routine, I've determined. Maybe I'm just gotten to the age where just things need to stay the same. If they start to change, I just don't know what to do with myself. I crawl up into a ball and just kind of rock back and forth.
You're crazy kids.
It's kind of sad.
Are you an angel?
No, I'm not an angel.
Are you an elephant?
Now, hey, Bill, let's talk about that Plinkett thing. That guy who did the funny Phantom Menace and the funny Attack of the Clones reviews. He did one of Revenge of the Sith that's pretty hilarious for Red Letter Media.
I think it's probably the best of the three.
Yeah, I laughed quite a bit. I still love the first one. It's Red Letter Media. Do they make films or something, Bill? I don't even know who they are.
I've watched some of their stuff, and making films is a very kind thing to say.
They make videos for the internet, basically.
Well, I think they think they're making films.
Oh, that's like that. So the guy does reviews of he's done the Star Trek movies and stuff like that. And he's done some ones that weren't that good. He did a review of Avatar I thought wasn't good at all. But his Star Wars stuff is pretty entertaining.
Well, that's because Star Wars, you know, the prequels are just so...
It's easy to... Well,
lend themselves to that.
He actually goes, he goes into an amount of detail that I really like about...
Like film school detail.
Right. And that's why I like when he's making fun of Order 66. Like, how did he come up with this? Like, maybe it should have been...
Begin Operation Hot Zone Kill.
It's like, no, that sounds stupid. How about...
Execute Order 6.
No, that's too... Not enough orders. They need more. It's just funny, the kind of detail he goes into.
My favorite stuff was probably him criticizing... George Lucas's lazy filmmaking.
Right. He talks about the pace and how everyone walks. And because George likes to sit in a chair and drink his coffee and sit in front of a bank of widescreen, you know, plasma monitors there on the set.
Everything's done with two cameras.
Yeah, everybody walks
shot,
along.
Reverse shot.
Yeah. And there even shows the scene where the famous scene that we've talked about where Anakin says, I think Palpatine is a Sith Lord. And he's like, a Sith Lord? And he's like, we must be we must be quick about this. And then they start walking really slow. There's no words to see at all. And he's like, and then they, you know, it cuts to Lucas sitting there in his chair and he's got his coffee, you know, just like, all right, cut. That looks great. It's pretty funny. Funny stuff.
Okay, now walk off with urgency, but not too much urgency.
Yeah, there's no urgency in those films at all.
It's not like, where's the nearest exit? What's the quickest way to get to the Capitol building? Let's go.
In fact, I would say from the Phantom Menace to Sith, there's less urgency as the movies go on, you know? There's maybe a little bit of running in the first one, but, you know, when Obi-Wan's running and the little things close and he's not quite quick enough, he slows down over time where he's just like, I'm going to walk.
I'm not going to get there anyway in time.
Yeah. So, guys, we have some voicemail here. Let's check it out. This first voicemail is from Derek. Hey, Derek.
Hey, Nora and Mulberry, guys. It's Derek from Denver calling. Hey, great show, 221. Loved it. Just a couple of things I really enjoyed. At one point, Jason started doing Miss South Carolina and saying, like, as, such as. And I don't think anybody really noticed it. Maybe Steven did, but I'm not quite sure. So I was cracking up, though, because it was really subtle but very, very funny. So loved it. Also, Bill mentioned the Exit to the Gift Shop movie, which is actually available on Netflix streaming. And I picked it up. I watched it the other day and absolutely loved it. Even if you're not big into street art or any of that stuff, it's a really, really great movie to watch.
Fantastic.
And whether it's true or not, no spoilers, but definitely would love to have you guys all see it and talk about it because probably one of the best movies I've seen this year, especially that I wasn't expecting to be so impressed with. So check it out on Netflix streaming. You don't have to wait until it's out on Blu-ray.
Check it out, Lauren.
Keep it up, guys. Hope you guys have a great, great, great Christmas and holidays. Looking forward to whatever the surprise is that's coming from you guys later. Maybe it'll be the next Dark Tower book show. No, I guess not. But keep up the great work, guys, and have a wonderful holiday, and we'll catch you in the new year. Take care. Bye.
Thanks, Derek. You know, it's really cool that I didn't realize that you even talked about that movie because I just watched it recently, and I was floored by it, the documentary Exit Through the Gift Shop. Because it starts out one way, Bill, and it turns into something else. And it's just the only way I can describe it is extremely interesting, full of this dry kind of wit, the humor. That's it's just very entertaining. It's really cool. And it starts out about the street art and people who basically, they do art on buildings and stuff, and they travel around with their kind of trademark artwork, even to different cities. They, you know, they go on private property or climb buildings and stuff, and it's almost like they're doing it for each other, you know, Bill?
Yeah.
You say? But it's also about the filmmaker, the guy who films the whole thing. He documents every single bit of his life with video cameras, and he has his entire life, and it hasn't really meant anything. He just does it all the time. You know, he's always just has a camera there and his family's used to it. And then he comes across the street art thing and he starts following, is it like his second cousin around or something like that? And
yeah, I believe it. Like it's a second cousin named Space Invader.
Right.
Who does these little like tile space invaders and puts them up around different cities.
Like an overpass under a bridge or on a building. And he, you know, he has it on the mosaic tile and he puts the paste and he puts it real high up there. And just, you know, somebody might go, what the hell is that? And then they see it somewhere else. What? There's another one. What is that? And the different people do that, and he starts following them around and going to different ones. And there's this one artist named Banksy, who I guess is the most famous one.
I think he's the most notorious
one. He's the most elusive one. He's like Robert Denby of the street artist.
He is the Robert Denby of street art.
And he always wears a hood, like the cape on NBC. And
well, on camera he does.
Right. And he has a digitized voice the whole thing, and he's talking. Everything he said cracked me up most of the time. I just thought he was really – I don't know who the guy is, but I think he's hilarious. He just – he's a witty guy. And one of the most incredible things that he shows that he counterfeited money and put Prince's die on the British pounds bill. Remember that?
Yeah.
And he's like – he just did it as kind of like – everything's like a statement, you know, that he makes. Mm-hmm. But they actually took a couple to a club and started spending it, and no one ever looked at it. And he was like,
"No,
we could go to jail for a long time." So he decided to keep it all locked up and never touch it again, I guess. Or he doesn't know what to do with it. It's counterfeit money. And the guy's like, "What? Where'd you get this?" And he goes, "I made it, asshole." He's like, "Oh, whoa." And it's just – you got to see it, Steven. I think you would
– But it's one of those things he could probably do – put it out as an art exhibit versus
– Right. I think they kind of did it – or just in his story, they took it to a pub and they spent some of the money. But I think you would be fascinated by it, Steven. I was fascinated by it.
It's well, just, I think Bill had brought it – and didn't they do the Banksy was on the Simpsons front, you know.
Banksy – yeah, he did an opening for it, but it wasn't funny. It was just depressing. It was probably one of his only failed, or I feel was one of his failed art pieces. It just didn't, you know, because it was like a little too much.
Well, yeah.
He's very anti-consumerism. And
you never know.
And it just got, it went a little overboard.
Some artists, they just want you to feel something. You don't know what it is. It may not be to laugh.
Exactly,
may be just to like, kind of like ponder it or something. I don't know. But like some of his stuff, like the phone booth that was kind of knocked over and bent.
Yeah, it was crooked.
Yeah, I thought it was neat looking, but I had no idea what it meant or anything. But yeah. I just thought he was really cool how he's mysterious and stuff. But another thing is I don't even know if the, like, after you're done watching it, then we could talk about it almost.
See, you know? I've actually thought about doing like that myself and just go leave little projects around when I travel to different cities.
You should.
Cities.
You could become the PCZ Steven. But
just tag stuff PCZ.
But I'm going to say it's probably one of my I'll go ahead. You know, everyone's like my top movies of the year. It was one of my favorite movies I've seen in a long time. And is, you know, it was a documentary, or was it a real documentary? I don't know. But, you know, I remembered you talking about in the DVD segment. And what's funny is, you know, I've been working on the clip show and I was like, I got to take a frigging break before I kill myself. So I sat down and started looking around Netflix, and I go, Exit Through the Gift Shop. Oh, okay. And I'll start watching that. And I just sat there, and my jaw was like on the floor through it. Just like,
it's a really great film.
And
really
especially,
great.
I love the title of it once you're done watching the movie, too. It's just really cool. I recommend it to everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great title, especially once you see how things turn out.
Yeah, it's just hard to describe. I really want Laura and Steven to watch it, and I'd love to even do like a show talking about the whole thing because it's that interesting. All right, we got another voicemail from Sean. Let's check it out. Hey, Sean.
So Mulberry, it's Sean here in Los Angeles. Saw that you guys are having a new show tonight, so just thought I'd send along a voicemail to wish you guys a happy new year. And
thanks, Sean.
I'm really looking forward to a new episode. Feeling a little bit under the weather right now. Got sick at work. Everyone is sick. This thing is spreading like a mad virus. So I feel pretty crappy, but that's okay. Just resting up. And I'm watching a lot of TV and movies. And one show that I watched was that new FX show, Lights Out, the boxing one. And I really liked it. I thought it was a really good pilot. And so I'm going to be watching that. And I actually thought it was even better than The Fight. Yeah, okay, that joke is probably pretty old now. But anyway, sorry, Steven. Anyway,
never dies.
To,
still funny.
Good first show of 2011, and an even better rest of 2011 for you guys. So I'll talk to you a little later.
Poor Sean.
All right, take care. Love you. Bye.
Aww, hope he gets
much
better.
Much love, Sean. Hopefully, I'm going to add in the show this week a special healing potion. And once he listens to the show, it'll actually be like go through the your
within 48 hours. It's he'll probably be starting to feel better.
Phonic antibiotics is what I'm going to
phonics call. Antibiotics.
Yeah, phonic antibiotics, and it will heal you, Sean, as you listen. And by the time the show's over, you will feel not only completely healthy but supercharged with superpowers. And you'll have to tell us what manifested. By next week, maybe you got the power to heal like Wolverine, or you're like Matt Parkman. You can read everyone's minds.
No, don't bring up heroes.
Or you have a magic lasso that makes people tell the truth. How's that?
That's better.
Or you're like Iceman. And you could freeze shit. That'd be awesome. I always think that would be such a cool power because I hate summer heat, and I'd be like, if I was Iceman, dude, well, I'd probably melt and die actually here in Texas. But oh no, it goes,
it's like the inside of your house, it'd be just coated with ice.
But I'd have like ice car and stuff like that. Wouldn't that be cool, like driving in an ice mobile? Oh, whatever. All right, we got another voicemail, this one from Adam. Hey Adam, what's up?
What's up, Nowhere Mulberry? This is Adam from the Bay Area calling to wish you all a Happy New Year. I hope you had a great Christmas or holiday or whatever. And I really missed the show. I can't wait to hear a new one. And hope that you guys record this Friday. See, it's Tuesday the... Ooh,
we'll think about it.
11th today. Not that that's really all that important, but... Another reason that I'm calling, other than to just wish you guys a Happy New Year and say please record a show, is that I'm just listening to these douchebags on the radio. I think it's like a Sacramento radio station, and they're just like, oh, hey, I'm a radio announcer, I'm on the radio, and we're talking about the Sacramento Kings Arena and blah, 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 blah. And it's really stupid, and it's not entertaining, but then they're like, okay, well, let's play this commercial. And then they, like, play a commercial, and it's a commercial about, like, home, like preventing your home from water damage. So it's about caulking, right? Now, I'm a carpenter. I'm in, you know, construction. And I made the joke maybe when I first started, which was about 11 to 12 years ago. Caulk. Okay, it's caulk. Wow, that's funny. If anybody makes a joke about that nowadays, it's like, really? That's what you're making a joke about? So this guy comes on, it's a commercial, he's talking about, like, you need to have your home re-caulked. You need to check your caulk because it might be dry and rotted and stuff like that. And they're like, oh man, caulk. And it's just so frustrating and irritating because I'm like, these douchebags have a show? Why the hell do these guys get ratings and get a salary to this stupid show? Why would anyone listen to it when I know of a couple of candidates it would make much better radio hosts than this, and that definitely deserve a salary and deserve,
don't say,
you know, like
Bert,
airtime, and it's just frustrating. So I just wanted to vent my frustration to you guys.
Thank you.
And
Adam,
also encourage you at the same time that you guys are way better than a lot of, like, handsomely paid radio broadcasters out there. So I don't know.
Thanks,
we'll
Adam,
just be keeping hope alive and maybe someday get you guys onto some sort of salary or making some serious money to put out a really good quality show.
We need Adam to buy a radio station.
So anyway,
yeah, we do.
I'm going to take my cock and I'm going to get back to work.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Thanks, Adam. That's cool. You know, Adam, if I've thought like that at times, but I try not to anymore because it just makes me seethe. Because really, radio is pretty annoying most of the time. Everything's loud and obnoxious. There's a scene where I love with Steve Buscemi in Ghost World. You know, he's like this recluse and everything, and he's listening to the radio. He goes, why is this man yelling at me? Everything is so loud and aggressive. I don't understand. And I need to put that in an intro, but I feel the same way, you know, when you sit there. And do you ever, like, trying to do something, you're in the car and you're trying to concentrate on something, and you realize that the radio is just hammering you in the head, and you're like, Jesus, why do I even have this on? You have to turn it off. That happens a lot of times. But that never happens with Nowhere in Mulberry. We're like brain food, all right?
Brain food, I like that.
Right, Steven?
Yes. I like brain food.
We're here to help. Oh, and, you know, before I forget.
Don't get enough of it.
Before I forget, guys, I would like to wish a birthday. Happy birthday.
Wish a birthday.
Wish a birthday.
Yeah, I'm going to give you a birthday to one of our listeners, Bill, Ryan Carter. So,
happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you, buddy. Buddy Rowe. Good times.
And happy birthday.
I don't know how old you are, but I'm going to wish you a happy birthday.
Anyway.
Happy birthday to you.
There we go. Thank you, Foggy.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Ah, yes.
Happy birthday.
That's the best way to get a birthday, don't you think?
I want that on my birthday.
I think so.
Happy birthday to you.
No! Not the
that
Whoopi.
One.
Oh, come on.
Happy birthday to you.
Sorry, didn't mean to ruin it. But hey, guys, one thing I wanted to say is we're going to talk about some shows this week, but not as many as we will in a couple of weeks because we will have the return of Fringe. And
yay,
it's the Friday Fringe. What sucks is we're going to have to wait till the show
week
airs. But we'll also have the return of Spartacus. It'll be Spartacus Gods of the Arena. Right? And it's a prequel. But still, I'm pretty excited about it because we get a lot of Batiantis.
Yes.
We already know that guy has quite the way with the language, does he not?
Yes.
And, you know, I'm really bummed about our buddy Spartacus, Andy...
Whitfield.
Thank you, Laura. I'm impressed. Thank you. Can you guys believe that? She knew his name.
She pulled it right out of there.
Clear the fucking room!
Oh, my God! Sorry, Batiatis. But we really hope that it's a great season, and, you know, we'll try to see past the fact that Andy Whitfield won't be back in a... Where it'll be another year probably till that new series, right?
Yeah, I don't know what his. I don't know how he is recovering.
Yeah, but I'm excited about this. I think it'll be a lot of fun. We'll have some fun with it.
See our fortunes rise along with your cock.
All right. Well, thank you for that.
Inserting tongue in ass.
Okay, well, we got another voicemail. Are you guys going to help me out with the show today?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who's on the next,
nope.
The next email, voicemail?
It's Rick! Hey!
Rick!
Hey, guys. What's up? I'm lying in bed. I thought I'd send you a voicemail. Don't you love it when people just give you random details? So you think, why did they just say that? I'm in bed now. And blah, blah, blah.
It paints a pretty picture.
Why are you in bed? I don't need to know that. Anyway, I'm in bed now. Just thinking of you. I thought I'd send a voicemail because I haven't this week. And, you know, I'm home.
Is he still sleeping?
Why don't I send a voicemail? Because you guys deserve it. Last night I watched Die Hard again. Yeah. Just, why not? Let's get some Die Hard on. And I haven't watched it for ages, I realised, because I forgot about little moments that just cracked me up. When the SWAT guys, or whatever they are, they're running in and one of them gets pricked by the rose bush. He's like, ow! It just cracked me up. I just totally didn't remember that part. And
I'm having a really hard time understanding.
I can't remember now. And anyway... But other moments too. It's a good movie. And I realized how 80s it is, like, for the first time last night. Because it must have been that long since I washed it. Washed it. Yeah, give it a good old wash. No, I watched it.
Wow.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun watching it again. So. Die Hard. Mate, it's a classic for a reason. Because it's awesome. And I also watched Hercules. Yeah, Hercules. He's the... What? How's it go? Yeah, I can't remember. But that was pretty good, too. Hercules. Haven't seen that since forever.
What? Which version?
Yeah,
the animation is...
The Lou Ferrigno, or...
I love going back and looking at stuff again. And
so the Alan Steele ones that anyway, were shot in Italy.
Have a great show, guys. I'll talk to you next week, and hopefully I'll be a little bit more prepared, and I'll do it on my computer so there's no ums and ahs and stuff. Cause,
you'll do what on
I like to have it short and sweet and snappy. You know how I like them snappy. I don't know why. Do you ever do that with, you know, references? Because I was doing that from Billy Madison. You know how you like them sloppy. That one, but you just say snappy instead. Just change up the word. Anyway, rambling. Love you guys. See you later.
All right, Rick.
Bye, Rick.
And stop.
Go back to sleep, Rick.
I think you remember this day until you lay to slumber, never to awaken.
Oh, dear.
Well, hopefully he awakens.
Come on, Bonte Artis.
That was harsh.
I love that Billy Madison where the ladies talk about the sloppy joes. I know what he's talking about. I know what you're talking about, Rick. And I guess Rick's back home, right?
Yes.
Good stuff. That's it. One word answers I get from you guys tonight. Right? I'm starting to get frustrated.
I'm sorry. I was pulling news.
Oh, okay.
I waited a little too long, so I'm back from outer space.
And now I'm back. From outer space.
I was implying it, but I wasn't really asking for you to sing it.
You asked for it.
Thank you. What the hell was that? You sound like you were savoring something.
All right, let's do entertainment. Jesus.
This is why we shouldn't take breaks.
All right, did you guys see Tron Legacy? I did.
Yes.
I dug it.
Yes.
I thought it was pretty awesome.
It was a fun one. Yeah, I really liked it.
You know, it's one of those kind of things where we didn't get to see it when it first came out. And everyone else saw it, you know, like, hey, Tron, I saw it, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, did you guys have to fight through a little bit of the negative feedback there for a while? It seemed like
I really ignored the negative feedback. Yeah. Most of the feedback I ever saw on it was relatively positive.
Right. Yeah, I was like, no, whatever. You know, I don't want to hear about it, whatever, until I got to see it. Because I was really annoyed that I didn't get to see it. Because the way it fell in the holidays, it was impossible to go see it. But finally we did, and I was really entertained by it. I really liked it, and, you know, of course, it has a lot to do with my love of the original Tron, and I thought that the movie had very similar tones. Mm-hmm. You know, it felt like Tron to me, and it was great seeing Kevin Flynn and stuff. I thought the CGI young Kevin Flynn was kind of funny, and it worked in the on the grid, as they say. But it was funny because in the flashbacks when he's younger, he looked like that. It was just kind of strange. But I really liked it. And I really loved Olivia Wilde's character, Cora.
Mm.
Thought she was hot.
Mm-hmm. Honked.
And I loved the whole, the bad guys and the light cycles and the fighting with the identity discs and all that. Thought it was pretty sweet.
That sounds like the original.
Yeah, it was pretty sweet. And I was not unhappy with it.
I liked the.
I loved how the. I'm sorry, Steven. Go ahead.
The multi-tier levels of fighting.
Yeah,
that's what I was going to bring up. The whole. I loved how Clue was up there watching, and there was multiple arenas, and they're always in flux, always shifting.
Yeah,
I thought that was really cool.
I also love, you know, because in the original Tron, they played the games and you didn't get a sense anyone was watching but Sark or maybe the MCP. But I love that there's like lots of other programs watching. Yeah, that was pretty sweet.
Yeah, there was no sense. it was more of a mutual execution kind of feel in the original, whereas here it was like a gladiator's arena.
Right, I love that. And it's just, you know, cool flick. Loved it. I also saw True Grit with Kevin Flynn. Thought he was good
Kevin
in that.
Flynn.
He had
he was.
Instead of a light cycle, he had a horse, though. So not as exciting, but still.
And he was missing an eye.
Yeah, he was missing an eye. He should have put like a camera or something. A webcam, something like that. I was having trouble separating the two as I watched it. I was like, he might get de-rezzed here. Wait, what?
I was waiting for him to say, you're messing with my Zen thing, man.
I thought it was so cool that Bruce Boxleitner was in Tron also. But
oh yeah,
True Grit was a good flick too. I loved it.
Two shitholes.
But I saw True Grit first, and then I saw Tron later, so I was excited about that. And yeah, I don't. You know, those are the only movies I saw over the holidays besides Exit Through the Gift Shop, and I saw that in my living room. But I would say, you know, like instead of volume, just those three movies. That was like really exciting. Those three.
Nice
flicks.
Quality flicks.
I also saw something else, but I don't know if I want to tell you guys.
Why not?
I don't want to be judged.
I know what you saw.
I want to know.
No.
Come on.
I'm ashamed. I saw Yogi Bear.
No, you did not.
I took
you
my
didn't
daughter
tell
to
me
see
that.
It.
There's a reason he didn't tell you.
I took my daughter to see it, and hey, all that matters.
What did
is
she think?
She enjoyed herself.
Oh. Well,
she
that's all
laughing.
That matters.
Yeah, I ate some popcorn and stuff there. There was a couple of times where I was like, I was staring at the screen, but it was almost like I was staring through the screen. And I was like, Tom Cavanaugh, what?
It was an existential experience.
Yeah, but you know, I love taking my daughter to the movies, and I'll take her to see whatever she wants to see, even that. As long as, okay, we saw a trailer to a Justin Bieber concert movie in 3D.
And what?
I saw my daughter, who's only six, kind of go, ah. And I was like,
no.
She was swooning?
I draw the line there.
Oh, no, that's terrible news.
What is happening?
Justin
I want to know what's happening.
Yeah, my six-year-old niece is the same way. She came over for Christmas, and she has this little pink iPod, and it's like, what are you listening to? She goes, my boyfriend. I was like, well, who's your boyfriend? She goes, Justin Bieber.
Oh, no.
And I was like, really? I honestly had never heard anything of his. So I said, well, why don't you put it on? And I hooked it up to the radio, or the radio. What era am I living in?
The phone.
I hooked it up to the receiver, and she starts dancing. It's that baby, baby, babe. Oh, and I was like, okay, I can see where maybe a kid would enjoy this. You know, when I was her age, I liked plenty of horrible music. And then this rapping came on. She goes, I don't like this part. And she just she sits down. She won't dance to the rapping.
He raps.
No, he has some other guy in the song rap during the song.
A rap like, interlude?
That's
yeah,
sweet.
Exactly. It's like instead of a guitar solo, it's a rap interlude.
And you know, I haven't been exposed to the guy enough in my household to care that much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know
well, good.
And girls will like that kind of stuff. And I don't hate it or anything. I have nothing against the guy or whatever. But I mean, I remember having like a violent reaction to like New Kids on the Block at the time because where we worked they made us carry like New Kids on the Block posters and crap, so you would see like people buy them, and every once in a while I want to get this framed, and you're just like, why? It's a piece of shit poster.
Because it's Donnie.
It just made me really mad.
You can't stay mad at a Pancake Mouse.
That's right, you can't.
Now, if they had posters of Pancake Mouse, I would get that frame.
Do you guys have any desire to see the Green Hornet?
No.
Yeah.
I'd see it.
Yeah, why not?
I can
smoke a bowl and go see it.
Yeah, honestly, if I had a bowl that I could smoke, I would go see it.
Right, Steven?
Right.
Just go along with me, bro.
I'm gonna smoke a bowl. Check it out.
Yeah, that totally works, man.
What are you going to smoke in that bowl?
I don't know.
Wood chips, maybe some bacon.
Yeah,
some bacon.
No, man.
I'll smoke a ham, dude.
That'll be delicious.
Banana
It'll
peel.
It'll take a while, though.
Smoke a banana peel.
Yeah, why not? Don't knock until you try it, Laura.
Right. It smells like banana bread.
Mmm.
That's burnt and rancid.
No. That doesn't sound good.
So, is there any big holiday movies coming up? What you guys thinking? What do you, Bill? Have you seen a trailer to the James Cameron 3D flick? I mean, I guess he produces it, right? I'm not sure he even directed it.
Yeah, what the hell is that? Some sort of cave thing?
Yeah, people are trapped spelunking or something.
Oh, it was I saw that.
It was filmed in 3D and everything, and it looks pretty exciting.
They're called Spelunkers?
That would be cool. Spelunkers 3D.
Or Load Runner.
But it's just called Sanctum.
Oh, Sanctum?
Yeah. It sounds
like
coffee.
I like Spelunkers better.
I don't drink Folgers. I drink Sanctum. Mm.
It's caffeine free.
That's pretty sweet.
There you go.
Steven, I told you not to do that during the show anymore. You get sleepy.
It doesn't exactly have the biggest stars in it.
Oh, that was a harsh draft. Whoa, dude.
You got to pull it a little easier there, Steven.
Too deep.
What do you guys say we check out what's on our TiVo?
Let's do it.
Let's do that shit, yo. All right. Well, you know, in the intro, did you guys check out that there were some mazes and monsters there? I know it was probably pretty hard to understand what it is, but here's just like a little clip here.
A monster! A monster!
A monster? What? What is this?
A Gorbil! A Gorbil! A Gorbil!
What the hell's a Gorbil?
It's a monster. A monster.
I don't know. We may have talked about this before a little bit, but Chris Makepeace and Tom Hanks are in this flick. When I was a kid, I was into Dungeons and Dragons. And a lot of people think it was about role playing and, you know, I'm a sorcerer or whatever. Really, what it is about, Dungeons and Dragons, and D&D nerds will have to agree with me on this. They may disagree. They think it's about the fantasy. It's about collecting shit. It's about collecting the books, the dice, getting felt bags, collecting the little lead figures and painting them. That's what it's really about, okay? So,
and then eating the lead figures and dying from a lead poisoning.
But what? Here's the thing. Huh. You know, I tried to play Dungeons and Dragons. I didn't really understand how, but I wanted to really bad. So, but my friends and I would talk about Dungeons and Dragons all the time. I remember the Rondu, he was like, dude, no, I don't play that. You know, and it was like, oh, okay. He was like too cool for school or whatever. Probably because his mom told him it was evil or something.
But, well, it'll suck his soul out of his body through his asshole.
Right. You know, that's possible.
Yeah.
But this Mazes and Monsters movie was coming on. It's like, dude, check it out, Mazes and Monsters. And they'd show the clip of, like, the monsters or whatever. It's like some kind of cool Dungeons and Dragons type thing, right? So I was all excited about it. And then we saw, you know, watched it on TV, and it was really about how it was bad for you playing those games. Tom Hanks' character is losing touch with reality. He starts seeing the monsters. There's even a part where these guys are trying to mug him, but he sees them as lizard men, and he stabs one of them. And I always wondered why that was so bad. The guy was mugging him, and he stabbed him, right? So he defended himself, even though he thought he was a lizard dude. But still.
I'd stab a lizard dude trying to steal my money.
Yeah. So I was like, what the hell, man? And just here's an example. Here's a part where a cop is talking to a dude who plays Mazes and Monsters. And he's trying to tell him why it's not just fun and games.
What do you guys think happened?
One of the players Robbie played with got carried away and killed him.
Oh, my God.
Well, that's kind of far out.
Mazes and Monsters is a far out game. Swords, poison, spells, battles, maiming, killing.
Hey, it's all imagination.
Is it?
Was that film produced and sponsored by Pat Roberts?
I think so. I just love that. So it's bad. Don't ever play that shit, okay?
Bad, okay.
Mazes
and yeah, and if you die in the game, you'll die in real life.
Oh,
then you'll be right. In hell.
It's like in Freddy, you know, if you fall asleep while you're dreaming, you die. Mm-hmm. Or if you in Tron. No, you don't die in Tron, or do you?
Yeah, you get de-rezzed.
De-resolution. All right, Trump was on Jimmy Fallon, and he...
Trumpy,
yeah, from Pod People was on Fallon, and they announced the entire cast of Celebrity Apprentice. We already knew Busey was going to be on there. Let's see what other celebrities will. It's a train wreck.
Oh my God. You're going to announce the cast.
He actually doesn't announce any.
Celebrity Apprentice.
Jimmy Fallon does.
Oh man, this is going to be a crazy season if this is true. LaToya Jackson. Oh my gosh. Gary Busey. Is this real? We can stop right there. I would watch the show. Star Jones.
Yep.
Wow. Nene Leakes. Right. My girl.
Who?
Jose Canseco.
Yep.
Lisa Rinna. David
wreck.
Cassidy. What?
Train wreck.
Nikki Taylor.
Right.
Richard Hatch is on this. Marley Matlin. Meatloaf. My man Mark McGrath. Hope Dorasic. Lord John. What? Dionne Warwick. Wow. Finally, my main man. He's been on the show a bunch of times. John Ritt.
Yeah, but Dionne already knows who won.
Did you say Little John was going to be on there? That's Robin Hood's buddy. That died a long time ago. I don't know what the hell's going on.
He's still protecting the bridge in Sherwood Forest.
Now, guys, I know everybody's heard about this homeless guy who has the golden voice.
It's it's one of those things that kind of like spiraled out of control.
It really did. And Bill, you were the first person that exposed me to it. You sent me the video and I watched it. And then all of a sudden I see it on
everywhere.
CBS This Morning, flip it over to ABC. It's on
Yahoo.
Like, he was on those shows at the same time. I don't know how they did it, but he's in three places at once. He's been everywhere. And Conan had this kind of funny joke about how Inside Edition has gone nuts on this guy. And I thought this clip was hilarious. Let's check this out.
We've all, of course, been hearing a lot about this. The homeless man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Well, all right. reportedly, he has checked into rehab. And, you know, I'm glad he's getting help. And I got to say, I don't mean to sound nasty, but I'm glad he's just gone away because I thought all the tabloid shows were getting a bit carried away. Look at this promo for Inside Edition.
You've never heard a homeless dude sound like this. You're listening to nothing but the best of oldies. And from homeless to worldwide fame. Then his shocked 90-year-old mother. Plus a heartbreaking reunion. And Ted Williams' children and grandchildren. All 20 of them. Then what Oprah's saying about the story everyone's talking about. Plus his troubled past. And what his ex-wife is telling only Inside Edition. Then the man with the golden voice taken to the police station in Hollywood. Plus, the man with the golden voice goes into rehab. And
you're watching Inside Edition.
We're on for 40 minutes.
It's like, jeez.
So the guy's been famous for a week and...
It's like, holy crap.
And it feels like a lifetime already.
And I was like, come on.
I think it probably feels like a lifetime for him.
Come on, I have a radio voice, and I'm not even homeless.
And the guy doing the voiceover at the beginning, did he say, you've never heard a homeless dude
he did
sound like this?
Yes.
Yeah, what was that about?
Dude.
Homeless dude. Dude, you got a great voice, man. Homeless dude.
I thought all homeless people sounded like that.
Operation Hot Zone Kill.
That's the normal homeless guys I knew.
Wait, I think Steven just spoke Chinese again. What was that?
Steven's not even going to repeat it, are you?
I didn't understand. You know, Skype is all over the place for me tonight. You guys are in and out, up and down. Overmodulated, undermodulated. You know, it's just, it sounds awful. So
I said
if you did say something that was intelligible, I apologize. Otherwise, I don't.
No, I said that's the one. That's the homeless guys I know sound like.
Again, I'm not getting it.
Okay.
Say, let me have the other one again.
Did you get that, Bill?
Yeah, that I understood.
Yeah.
Okay. Never mind.
Let's talk about the Cake Boss. Or, no, let's talk about Next Great Baker. Yeah. Whatever the hell the show's called. Let's talk about that. Joe is back. That guy. What the hell was that about? First of all, didn't he...
He quit.
He quit, and he was a disgrace, but then I'm going to give him a second chance. Made no sense.
He never really got kicked off the show, so we're going to give him a second chance.
But I thought this was funny just to see that chick Karina react to it.
She doesn't have a chance in hell. Those guys in that bakery would never put up with another Mary-like character like her.
That's what was funny is I was like, she's actually... perfect for that bakery because she's just like the sisters, isn't she? But they don't want another one.
They don't want one back there with them. That's why all the sisters are up front.
Right. Keep her downstairs, right?
Yeah, stay downstairs, Karina.
All right, well, let's check this out.
Today's cake challenge is wedding cakes.
It's wedding cake. Finally, I get to do what I can do.
Okay.
What is Buddy going to do next? Because I have a feeling something's coming.
If you thought that I was going to move you to the other team, you're right. Go to the boys. You know, you don't always get to choose who you work with. As the next great baker, I expect you to be flexible and be able to adapt. That's not the only surprise I have for the bakers today. It's unfair for the teams to be uneven. So I have a plan. You know, I wouldn't want to just keep it uneven like this. Especially in a wedding cake challenge. You need full firepower. Bring in somebody back.
Bring them in.
Buddy? Joe?
No. No, 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 no.
I'm back!
Seriously? Really?
Unfortunately, Joe, when he left, he quit. If you say I quit, then quit and walk the hell out of here.
I quit.
Go. But I'm a man who believes in second chances.
Why?
Here's the thing. I'm bringing Joe back because I see potential in him.
I want to come back, I want to work with you guys, and I want to make some really great cakes. So what do you say?
No.
In a way, this is a second chance for Joe, but it's a second chance for you too, Karina.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
My mind is spinning, my heart's in my throat. I'm thinking, don't cry, but inside I'm like scared.
Wait, why is this not in the center of the board?
I measured it out.
But look, round circle, this is the center.
The flange isn't centered. You idiot. Like, what are you... Again, you shouldn't be here. All in my head, I'm thinking, this is why you shouldn't be here. This is why you shouldn't be competing.
You know what? I've been a plumber for 26 years. I can work with PVC pipe in my sleep. An eighth of an inch is not going to make a difference.
He's a plumber. This is plumbing equipment. I want to turn around and take this vase and throw it like a frisbee across the kitchen. That's exactly what I want to do.
I actually wanted to see that and have it sever his head. And you know what? The weeks we were gone, guys, Greggy was eliminated.
Aww.
Ooh, ooh, ah, ah, Chunky Monkey. I was like, what the hell happened?
What are we going to do for names now?
That's so sad.
It was sad. And the thing where he was supposed to center the thing in the circle, I was kind of like, well, how did you miss that? You know, and he's like, hey, it doesn't matter. I'm a plumber for 26 years or whatever. And then I love this bit here where he dumps the cake off the roof. It's like they didn't see that coming. He's like, okay, bring your cakes up here.
Bring your
right
cakes
on the ledge
roof.
Of the roof for your photo shoot. Like, we want this nice cityscape behind your cake picture. But I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, that beautiful Jersey cityscape.
And they don't have a chance because their cake is leaning, what is it? It's Megan, Karina, and Joe. And they hate Joe. And
yeah, that's apparent.
Let's see what happens. I love this music. It's like a karate
music. You guys did really nice wedding cakes. Well, today's competition is not about beautiful wedding cakes. Joey, show them what today's competition is about.
All that damn work.
I am completely stunned.
I can't believe you just did that. Why?
Sometimes in a bakery, things happen.
The bakery?
Sometimes cakes fall down. I've had cakes fall down on me.
He's right. This happens. It's happened to me.
Now it's time to talk to Team Karina, should we call it? What? Team Megan? Team Joe? What happened? Karina.
We lost because I think skill-wise we were a man down.
Megan, what happened?
I would agree with Karina on, I think that Joe knows that cakes is not his strength. So that definitely hindered our time and our execution as far as needing another skilled hands, I guess you could say.
So you guys are basically saying that it was kind of unfair.
It was completely unfair.
I think everybody up in that room would agree.
This isn't going to happen to me again. I came back here, and I said to you, I'm going to show you I have what it takes to be the next great baker.
They successfully
and what I did is I walked
the
in
bus,
there, and the calla lilies is the one thing that they gave me.
Oh, I love
and
this.
I did it, and I did it to the best of my ability, and the bride liked them.
Megan?
We didn't use any of Joe's calla lilies on that cake. We made the calla lilies that were on that cake.
Huh? Karina, what did Joe have to do with this cake?
He made all the leaves, he veined the leaves, he dusted the leaves with color.
I mean, you understand why you're here. I mean, could you honestly sit here and tell me
okay
that a guy
there,
should be here tonight over
yous? No, but I can honestly tell you that neither Megan and I or I deserve to go home tonight. We worked our asses off.
And I worked my ass off as well, buddy.
I've been a plumber for 26 years.
Karina?
Not at the same skill level as Megan and mine.
Megan?
I agree.
Joe, you asked to come back because you quit.
Yes.
You said you regretted it?
Yes.
So I gave you a second chance.
Yes, you did.
And I said to you, if you want to stay around, you have to hit it out of the park.
I tried to hit it out of the park, but I didn't.
You did it. So you know what that means, Joe?
I didn't make it.
Hit a box truck, baby.
Again.
Get in trouble.
One of yous was going home.
Yous.
But you plead a good case to me. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That is not the plural of you.
Joe,
can someone
again
please tell him that?
Joe, have a seat over there. We're going to go for a little ride.
Poor Joe.
The first time I was in this box truck, I was in here as a quitter, and I wasn't happy with that. You know what? I'm back in this box truck again. I'm not happy about being back in the box truck, but I could live with it and I could accept it.
What the hell?
That music always reminded me of that song, so I had to put it on there and go, see? This is what it... Did you guys hear it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Whenever that
I always thought Bootsy Collins was in the box truck.
It's like...
Turns out he is.
Why is Groove is in the heart, the music, while you're in the box truck? It's like, okay, let's play that. Awesome. All right, guys, let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Dungeons & Dragons will return after these messages.
To help them battle the evil Decepticons, you can imagine the Autobots create Dinobots.
Each sold separately.
more than meets the eye.
Transformer Dinobot Grimlock. Other Transformers sold separately from Hasbro.
Oh no! It's Mr. Badline! Ah!
Lunchtime fun is mine. I've got Mr. O and great tasting SpaghettiOs too.
It's an owl alert!
Thanks, friends! Terrific lunchtime fun is back!
Julian is about to win at McDonald's.
I've won an Atari Harvester!
Look out! Here comes McDonald's Big Mac attack with Atari's Indy 500.
I won with the Indy 500.
Scratch any three shapes and only three. If they match, you win the prize shown. Hundreds of thousands of prizes. Atari home computers, Atari video games, and fabulous McDonald's food. Every card can win if you scratch a matching three. Atari prizes rushed to you by Ansett Air Freight. So play McDonald's Big Mac attack with Atari's Indy 500.
Did you win?
In my hometown, there's this bar called the Firefly. It's where all the real men hang out. My sister and I call up the name. Hi, Mike. How you doing, baby? Any way we could get together? Sure is. I got a white Chevrolet and I'll be sitting on the hood. Well, Mike, if you're still waiting.
Calvin Klein Jeans.
And my sister and I get better every day.
Here comes the cigarette effect. Here comes Carol's light effect. The highlighter that's so new. Highlighting made just for you. No matter what color your hair, you can uncover the highlight in there.
Clairol's new light effects. The highlighting kit made just for your color hair. New light effects.
The cleaners are about to meet Cupid. What they don't know is that this cute little character may change their lives. It's up to you to hop the irresistible Cupid and avoid nasty characters like Ugg and Coily. And like the arcade game, the more trouble he gets into, the more involved you'll get trying to save him. You'll hop with him, you'll flunk with him, you'll begin to anticipate his every move. You'll grow so attached to Cupid, you'll become one of the family. Cupid, from Parker Brothers.
Also available in tabletop model. An idea begins. The ultimate microwave cookware system. Form follows function. And beyond. To durability. To versatility. With a limited number of pieces, performing an infinite number of tasks. The ultimate microwave cookware system is from Rubbermaid. Quite understandably, nothing else stacks up to it. Your dungeon master has placed you in a dreadfully precarious position.
You're playing the most phenomenal game ever created.
Your skin grows cold from your first glimpse of the enormous beast.
It's a product of your imagination.
Survival depends on a quick, decisive move.
The choices are limited.
Stand and fight, or run.
Use your lightning bolt.
Victory is yours.
Win the treasure.
TSR Hobbies.
Dungeons and Dragons game.
Products of your imagination.
Bright gets you noticed. Ask Richie. For weeks, he'd been working his heart out for Lynn, the exercise instructor. But to Lynn, Richie was nobody. Then Richie discovered Ultra Bright. Ultra Bright White. Dynamite fresh. It got him noticed. Next day, Lynn and Richie started training together. They've been in great shape ever since. Get in condition with Ultra Bright for a smile so white, breath so fresh, it gets you noticed.
RC Cola can refresh, revive, renew. RC Cola can really get to you. Cola, love, and wonder.
presenting Saturday Morning.
I hate bullies.
The A-Team superhero, Mr. T, stars in his own weekly show.
Be there Saturday morning.
I wish you didn't have to leave.
That plane won't wait.
Well, what about moving out here?
Well, why don't you? Nobody asked.
Would you if they did?
They?
Okay, me.
When you open your heart, open the Lancers. Lancers white wine. Dry, crisp, imported in its own decanter.
Well, what about moving out here?
When you open your heart, open the Lancers.
Once in a great while, a natural phenomenon occurs that is so beautiful, so dramatic, it overshadows everything else. Sergio Valente has created a phenomenon the whole world will be watching. Sergio Valente black denim jeans. They're more than beautiful. They're out of sight.
Come on, America. Perk up. Introducing two new grinds of Folgers flaked coffee. New regular grind.
For us.
And new electric perk.
Just for us. And remember, with flaked coffee, you use fewer scoops, so you save money. Mmm. Rich, mountain-grown flavor. What a delicious way to save money.
Enjoy Folgers flaked coffee in new regular and new electric perk grinds.
Perk up with Folgers flaked coffee.
And now, back to Dungeons & Dragons.
Man, I love that Dungeons & Dragons.
I want to turn around and take this base and throw it like a frisbee across the kitchen. That's exactly what I want to do.
Me too.
Do it. Do it, lady. Do it.
That would be good TV.
That'd be great TV.
Oh, there's something about smash that. Joe in the head with that thing.
That would be a
great... Oh, I was a plumber for 26 years!
As he's laying there dying, blood gushing out of his head.
I hit you in the dead center of the board, though.
And you die a plumber, Joe.
That's all he's got.
But here's another thing. Man. I don't want to hear a guy who's making shit with his hands that he was a plumber.
Man, my arm was elbow deep in people's shit for 26 years.
And now I'm making this cake for
you. I'm making a cake. It's like, and I didn't wash my fingers.
It's just too much the imagination. I don't think
there's a little extra under the nails.
No.
It's like, why is he telling people that? I thought he was a baker. Didn't he say he worked in a bakery?
A bakery.
Even at the beginning, he goes, "This is going to get ugly." It's like, stop adding syllables to words, you jackhole.
Oh, that's what they do in Jersey.
It's going to get ugly.
It's going to get ugly.
The word
here
is ugly.
No. Disney, ugly.
Ugly.
Bakery. How do they say plum-umber?
A plumber. I used to be a plumber. It's like that's a silent.
Oh, so they remove. They put the B back in. Use confused them because, buddy, you know, he goes uses or use.
Yeah.
So, this is you know, dumb. You get into.
It's like I actually hear him pronounce the B at the end of dumb. This is dumb. So dumb.
This is dumb.
Let's before we talk about the Kate Bill, because I really want to talk about the show with you. Let's talk about Top Chef real quick, because okay. Little Wolverine Jr. Marcel, he was pretty pissed off at the beginning.
I kind of look at him like Bud Bundy too. He kind of looks like little Bud Bundy.
With a Wolverine
he does have
haircut.
That Bud Bundy attitude. Maybe he should wear a Raiders cap.
He was bitching the entire time at the beginning,
especially when he starts going, getting all like that.
What was that? He got all ghetto.
Yeah.
Like, oh my god.
I did, and I love how Dale
is Sabrina from Hell's Kitchen.
And it's funny, is we know Dale's an angry guy, and he punches stuff, and he smiles, and he goes, "It's a good thing I've been through anger management."
Yeah.
But just listen to the scene. I don't even understand what Marcel is complaining about.
I was fully expecting to hear my name.
Jamie, you're here because you gave us a scallop dish that had very little
Forget
flavor.
Jamie.
Casey.
Marcel.
Your chicken feet weren't cooked enough and therefore inedible.
Casey. Please pack your knives and go.
Sucks for her. I feel bad. But at the same time, it's like, whatever.
I think everybody expected Jamie to go home.
Honestly, her attitude drives me nuts.
Not all of us failed the challenge. Let's don't bust my balls about not putting food out. Dale can sit there and be like, I only made 8 good portions for the last dim sum challenge, and then win? I mean, like, really? I could have made 4 different dishes and made 10 portions of each dish, but that wasn't the challenge.
Marcel's still hating on me. You only cooked 8 plates for the judges, and that's all you f***ing did. I'm like, didn't count my plates.
Here's the deal. I don't know how you guys do in your seasons, but I embrace the challenges, and I make food for the people.
Marcel's salty because he thinks his chicken wings won. You're wasting a lot of energy on something that you can't change.
You made 20 dishes and whatever. We were supposed to make 150. So what the you won the challenge, whatever.
You told me to plate 5 portions.
You know what? That's why they call it a game, and that's why they call it a challenge. And if you want to cry about it, you want to be a little bitch, then get the out the game.
Marcel's lucky, and I took anger management training. The old me would have been like, I'm going to beat your ass if you don't shut the right now.
Put it on plate.
Wow. Put it on the plate.
I definitely have noticed throughout the weeks that we've been here that Marcel is kind of an ass.
Wolverine, snickety, snickety, snowing.
Is he making up for being, you know, small and douchey with that anger?
I get, do you, like...
I'm proud of Dale, because I remember Dale whenever he was on his past season.
He fought with what's-his-face from Food Network, remember that?
Yeah, he did, yeah.
He almost came to blows with Chef, what's-his-head? God damn it, I can't
Chef
remember.
Chef what's-his-head?
That dude from the Food Network.
Come on, what is his name?
Which one from the Food Network?
Oh, forget it, Jesus
You
Christ.
Know, the one!
Bill, you
don't
know
have
who
to
I'm
play th- these games.
Bill, do you know who I'm talking about?
I do, but I can't remember.
Chef, what's his head?
I picture him.
You know,
in my
that
head.
Son of a bitch.
What does he look like?
He gave everyone trouble with the way you pronounce his name. Oh, God, it's on the tip of my tongue. It'll pop up. But anyway, he almost got into a fist fight with like a known like chef. Like a famous chef who has his own TV show. He's ready to punch him in the face. So the fact that Marcel, little weenie Wolverine guy, is sitting there yelling at him, like the fact that he just sat there and kind of just smiled.
So like between seasons, this Dale went to anger management to
yeah.
keep from killing somebody.
And he could, I would think he was even that was Top Chef Master. So I'm thinking the last time we saw him, he must have gone through anger management. Probably
That's
through
good.
A job. It was probably somewhere at a yeah. job. He was like, we're going to fire ass if you don't take care of this. You can't keep threatening to kick someone's ass. Oh, man, I almost had it in my head again. What is that guy's name?
What does he look like?
He was on Top Chef Masters the
okay.
first season. It's not Bobby Flay. I know that.
No, it's not Bobby Flay. Top Chef Masters.
He's kind of douchey,
season.
Remember?
He's douchey. Oh, Michael LaMonaco or something. Or he's the douche from... Yeah. Farge. Yeah, I didn't want to... I got you. It's okay.
I'm going to find it. I'm going to find what his name is. But anyway, you know what was funny is they...
Michael Chiarello.
Yeah, that's it. Michael Chiarello. Thank you. Yes. Michael Chiarello.
He is kind of an asshole.
Because remember, he was like, it's not Chiarello. It's Chiarello. Can you pronounce my name for me, please? And I'd be like, go to hell.
Yeah.
You know?
He's kind of an asshole.
Chiarello.
So he was telling.
Hiya, douchebagello.
And he told Dale one time, he was like, tell him to keep it down. And he goes, what'd you say to me? You know, and he got all
yeah.
up in his face. And
yeah.
he goes, I'm not threatened by this guy. I've had worse in my kitchen, and I can take care of myself.
I've been punctured by thorns from roses.
Yeah, so it was just like when Dale was with Marcel, and I was just surprised he didn't like pull out a blade and shove
it in his
throat.
Threw Marcel off the balcony.
And I actually thought Marcel's been pretty like not tame. Douchey so far. He's been pretty tame.
You know what? Honestly, he probably had one moment out there with a little too much alcohol. The Top Chef producers were like, oh hey.
Yes, he's the Marcel. Let's shave his head, you know. Hold him down, you know. So he had that one moment. One thing that I think is funny is how Tom shows up, and everybody's got their little projects. You know, they've caught the fish and all that. And I love how he'll go, that's interesting. And they'll be like, what? And he'll like, they'll second guess everything because of that. And I made a little clip here of just him kind of throwing them off. I love how he does that.
Oh, and that fish, Dale Clough, how are you?
Oh, I know. The size of that thing was huge.
It was almost bigger than him.
Hey, Chef, how are you?
Chef, how are you?
How many dishes are you doing?
We're working on one dish.
Why only one dish?
Well, we pretty much predominantly caught one fish.
You guys only caught one fish?
No, I mean, one type of fish.
How are you cooking it?
Pan roast and baste, and some ghee, and some thyme.
We're going to do like a bacon.
Hamon froth.
On it, yeah.
So, do you guys think you're at a disadvantage because if this one dish goes down, there's nothing to fall back on?
But he won't.
It won't.
If Tom asks you a question about something, he's loading ammunition.
Well, I guess you're hanging it on one dish. Good luck.
So, not good. Hey, chefs.
Hello, chef.
Hey, chef. How's it going? Is that the big one?
That was, I think, catch of a lifetime. I'll remember that moment for the rest of my life.
Cool.
I'm doing whole roasted striped bass, and I'm toasting off of flour tortillas.
Did you make tortillas, or?
I did not make the tortillas.
I was like, come on, man, really? Why would you say that? And then you start to second guess yourself. Should I have made the flour tortillas?
Hey, chefs. So what are you making?
So we're making three different dishes using all three of the fish that we caught, and I got corgi.
Great.
Yeah.
If you kill it, you got to cook it.
I'm going to smoke some of the bluefish and flake it into the garnish.
So have you worked with bluefish before?
I have, yeah.
It deteriorates very quickly because it's so fatty.
It's actually a really lovely fish, but it's just, you know. Tom has given me like a strange look about the fish, and it was a little disconcerting.
Thanks.
Thanks, Chef.
Now, what kind of fish was that?
Bluefish.
Have you ever had that, Bill?
It's very sad.
It's a very sad fish. Sad fish.
The
way they made it sound is like, why would I bother eating this? Sounds like a big pain in the ass.
It sounds like a pain in the ass.
Just throw this thing back and
get something else.
You know, we were on vacation last week. I loved seeing Seuser on that episode where they did the
dim sum.
Yeah, the dim sum. That was
Winsun Din Sum.
That was fun. Yeah, the best part about that is one.
That's
like,
what the episode was called.
The American guy who's like American Dim Sum
this is
or
like
something
American
like
Dim Sum.
Yeah. Caucasian Dim Sum.
Yeah, that's what he said. That was great. So, you know, the best part I thought was the awkward moment is Carla, she won doing her bluefish.
Hooty-hoo.
And she goes there, she's like, woo! Yeah, I won! And it's all the people just sitting there looking at her because they're all
going to Holland.
Just watch the scene. It's so awkward. Watch it. Just listen to this scene. Jesus, Jason.
The winner of this challenge will win a trip to Amsterdam.
Oh my gosh.
Please tell us who won this challenge.
In your face, baby Wolverine!
It was perfect in that beach environment.
Weapon X.
The winner is.
It's me! Again!
Congratulations, Carla.
I won! I'm going to Amsterdam!
Sorry if I'm not super ecstatic right now, because that means that we're on the bottom.
I'm sorry.
Uh-oh, Will, what an asshole.
Good luck, guys. Thank you.
I should have contained my excitement.
No.
It works both
ways. Absolutely
not. No. Yeah.
You're here to win.
Yeah, I mean, she can't be happy that she won a huge reward and recognizing. Well, he's really temper. Shut up, you little douchebag.
Go sharpen your blades.
Yeah.
And like last week when Jamie got eliminated, I mean, not Jamie, but Casey did, when Jamie should have. They do that every season where someone is like, why are they keeping this person? You know what I mean? You just wait for eventually where they'll get eliminated. But it annoyed me that she got eliminated for her chicken feet that she didn't even make because they asked for two people to go out and handle. Why did they do that if it just screws the person and they always get eliminated? because they're always like, somebody's got to do it. Somebody's like, I'm not doing it. I'm doing it. And someone's always like, okay, I'll do it. Don't. Why?
No.
It's stupid for the game to make people have to do that.
It's like, well, those people should not. They shouldn't be, like you said, they shouldn't be up for elimination if they're serving.
Right. So at the end when Casey was eliminated, he goes, I'm sorry, your chicken feet didn't measure up. I'd be like, I didn't make them. I was out there serving. Antonia made them. So why am I getting eliminated? That part just seems gay to me.
I'm surprised how Antonia keeps slipping through.
Yeah, I know. She was even on the – they're like, you probably would have won if you didn't have these two people on your team.
Wow. I like she searched.
Sucks for her. I feel bad.
Yeah, I was glad to see –
I'm glad Jamie's gone now.
She didn't seem like she even wanted to be there.
No, she didn't want to be there.
And, you know, the only thing I ever liked about Jamie is in the season she was on, she always wore this cool T-shirt with hamburgers and french fries. Like – every time they did, like, the diary room or whatever, she was always wearing that shirt. She wore it, like, on every episode. And I was like,
what? She looked better this year, though. Like, she lost some weight or something.
She looks uninterested in everything.
Yeah.
Like, whatever.
But she was glad to get back to
her girlfriend. She even says that, I feel sorry for Casey, but whatever. I don't really care that much. Man.
Oh.
I'm going to beat your ass.
Well, thank you. Now, Bill, speaking of beating ass, let's talk about the cake. Now, that is a segue.
That was a great one.
I've been off my game the whole show, but I'm back on my game now.
He's figured it out again.
I'm piloting.
I think the Michael Chiarella thing really cleared you up.
I was about to quit the show because I was like, one of these people do not tell me the name, I'm leaving.
You know what's so hard about him, though, is that anytime he's on food TV with that entertaining show, I always change it because I can't stand him. So he's like not on food TV
in fact,
to me.
Michael Chiarello, I'll call him that name just because he hates it so much. Michael Chiarello.
I used to record his show.
You know, by the
what?
Way,
I did because the food looked so good.
By the way, I saw Spike on the morning show on CBS, and he was making pizza because he has a place called We the Pizza in Washington, D.C. And I was like,
oh, yeah, I heard about that.
It's like, hey, there's Spike. And I actually think that's a pretty cool name for a pizza place since it is in D.C. But, oh, well, Spike, whatever. So
wouldn't it be more appropriate if it was in Philadelphia?
Maybe it is. I don't know. I don't know. I wasn't paying that much attention.
Come on,
hey,
man.
You
really?
Know, it is what it is. I'm sure it is in D.C.
So, Bill, cut to, like, I don't know, summertime or whatever, they announced the cape. NBC was going to do another superhero show. Because we have been through the heroes horse shit for so long on the show.
And then when we hear that it involves the circus?
Yeah. It's like, why are they doing this to this again? But here's the thing. The cape, it's a dude who's just a regular guy.
A dude who's a guy.
He's a cop. Apparently, he's a soldier. He was a cop, right? He doesn't have any superpowers.
He's a dude who's a guy who's a cop.
But he knows what... He knows how to kick some ass and all that kind of stuff.
He knows how to kick some ass.
Yes. Are you preparing the trailer?
Yeah, he is, as you're saying it.
He's a dude who's a guy who's a cop who knows how to kick some ass.
So, anyway.
Sold.
So, Bill, tell me what you thought about the show.
I thought it was incredibly entertaining. It gets off to kind of a, you know, the typical I've been framed cornball start. But once you get past that, it starts to – it deepens. The characters start to develop, and it's – the whole circus thing plays out very tongue-in-cheek. It's campy without being overly campy. I think it was Jeff Jensen said it kind of harkened back to the golden age of comics.
Yeah. That's – you know, what I liked about it is that it's – they were like – right away, you're like, this is a comic book world, and they're not apologizing for it. And I like
exactly.
We exist in this comic book universe where it has a villain, and he's an evil villain like a comic book, not like a regular TV show, where you're like, this guy's kind of cartoony or whatever. It's like, no, it's a comic book. And they're
But here's the main defining factor. It's written well. Mm-hmm. It is written well. It's acted well. And I want to believe it. I want to enjoy it. Whereas you look at a show like Smallville that is so piss poorly written and acted that you can't help but laugh at it. And
yeah, heavy on the melodrama.
Yeah. And this show is
And here's another thing good about Smallville is they try to do the overly clever writing where they try to do their little
quips.
References. Quips. This show has some funny shit in it where they're not trying too hard.
Well, the scene that solidified this show for me is is it Keith David?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't want to say David Keith.
I just call him David Keith David just to be on the
David Keith David.
So David Keith David is taken by Chess, who's the villain.
Right.
And he's being interrogated, and he breaks free, and as he's running away, he gets shot. We don't see where, but we know he's been shot. The Cape goes to rescue him. The Cape finds him. You don't know if he's kind of mortally wounded or not. And
yeah, I assume he is. Just because.
Yeah, you automatically assume he's because he doesn't look like he's in good shape.
And plus, Scales, the guy who shot him, who has lizard scales, he has a big ass gun. So I figure it's probably bore a hole through him, you know?
So the Cape finds David Keith David, and he's on the ground and he's kind of giving his spiel like, oh, I'm fading. You need to fight.
Like, that story you told me about your son, that sounds like something worth doing, something worth fighting for. And he's like, you know, it's just like this touching kind of cheesy moment, you know?
Yeah. And then he passes away.
Yeah, he closes his eyes and he's dead.
And for about a 15-second beat, maybe 10, you're like, oh, no, he's dead. What's he going to do now? And then he goes, oh, I thought that was it.
He's like, what?
And then they get up and go.
Yeah, and then they get up and leave.
And it was just such a pitch-perfect moment of kind of a, this isn't your typical bullshit comic show.
If it was Heroes, he would have been dead, wouldn't he?
Exactly, yeah. They're basically saying, we are not the typical.
Right.
So used to it.
And that was another thing.
And that's what I loved about it.
His character, when he died at that moment, I was like, oh, man, I loved his character. Why did it was a mistake to kill him off. Why did they do that?
Yeah.
And then when he's like, oh, wait, I'm still here? Oh, well, come on, let's go, or whatever. It's like, oh, thank God he's not dead, because that's hilarious.
Yeah.
And also, I love – there's in the circus of crime, there's this little dude.
Marty the Midget.
His name is Rolo. And but that was a good guess, though.
No, his real name is Marty the Midget.
Oh, that's like his stage name in movies or something?
That is his real stage name.
I love is he's a little dude, and his name is Rolo, but he's the...
He's a little dude.
He's a strong man in the circus. He's a strong man, but he's a little dude. And I love when he encounters Scales. And, you know, what's the guy, actor's name who plays Scales?
Vinnie Jones.
You know, he's a big old dude. And he runs into Rolo. And he's like, you know, like, who the hell are you? You know, he's like,
I would love a caramel chocolate-covered piece of candy.
What does he say? Something like...
I was expecting Rolo to be like the acrobat kind of rolls up into a ball and rolls it.
No, he said
and a midget would be perfect.
Scale says something derogatory about munchkins and go find the yellow brick road, and he just has this giant wrench and he hits him in the leg, then hits him over the head, and he goes, that's your goal. I forget what he says. That's your yellow brick road, bitch, or something like that. But he just kicks his ass, which I loved. But basically the way the show begins is the whole town is being taken over by this company.
OCP.
Yeah, it's basically OCP.
It's ARC. It's called ARC.
They're called ARC, and they're privatizing the police department, much like the movie Cuffs, George Cuffs, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it's a giant corporation doing it, though. And it's run by this eccentric billionaire. He seems like a suave guy, but he's really the evil villain Chess. Which I thought he had snake eyes at first, but he has little chess pieces in his eyes, doesn't he?
Oh, is that what it is?
If you look closely at one of his eyes, it's the knight.
Okay, because I thought it was snake eyes.
It's pretty weird because he wears a snake-type mask. And that's when the show first begins and they're in a detail to protect the chief or whatever, he gets in a car and he looks over and Chess is in there. He's got this weird mask of these eyes. And you're like, what the hell? And it's a comic book. There's no way, no bones about it. And they frame the main character into everyone thinking that he's the evil guy, the villain Chess, and everyone thinks he's dead, including his family. So that's when he is found by this circus of crime and this stuff happens. Let's check this out.
187 on the nose, am I right?
Where am I?
Answer him, jerk face. He's guessing your weight. 187. Is he right?
187. Yeah, that's right.
He's never wrong.
I never miss. So you're Chess,
no,
huh?
I'm not Chess.
Is there egg on my face?
Whatever gave me that impression?
Oh. Authorities continue to gather evidence after the explosion that appears to have taken the life of Vince Faraday, a.k.a. Chess.
No, I was praying. Look, you want the truth?
He's got a
Chess,
little word in
Peter
there.
Fleming. He is! Look, who are you? What do you want?
Money, you poor, slow-thinking man. We are the Carnival of Crime. We're professional bank robbers. Now, are you any use to me or not? Because I'm getting thirsty.
Oh, I'm just a cop.
Wrong answer. Rollo? We hate cops.
Max, you're screaming.
What? I'm using my stage voice. When you were Chess, you were interesting. Now you're boring. Dump him in the desert and cut the fingers off. Head to, I guess.
But he's cute.
Oh, no, wait. Wait. I'm a cop who had authority over every security procedure, code schedule, and personnel shift for the Palm City branch of ARC Security Corporation. That is a master key. So now you tell me, how much is my life worth?
But I can't help you.
Why not?
Look, we got a good thing going here.
You've got a good thing going. What are you afraid of?
You're dreaming.
I'm still his father, Max. I have to show him that he isn't alone. I have to send him a message.
What message? That his dad's lost his mind?
That it's not all corrupt. That one man can still make a difference. Max, you made me a promise. I kept my end of it. Now you tell me, have you got anything left in the tank? Will you ever anything?
You watch it, punk.
I don't see it. I'm just a broken down old loser.
I'm Max Molina.
Is it possible?
I've broken 92 bones in pursuit of the perfect illusion. Trained a generation of escapists, acrobats, magicians. I specialize in impossible.
And you know what's cool about that scene is later on in his first escapade as the Cape, he gets his ass kicked, wouldn't you say? And scales
soundly.
He wraps chain around him. He throws him in the ocean. He's sinking to the bottom. And, you know, he's going to drown. But through his training, he's learned to escape things. So he, like, pops out of the chain. I don't know. Does he dislocate his shoulders or something?
Yeah,
like Riggs?
Kind of a pop. Sounds like he does a Martin Riggs.
Yeah. And then he sneaks out. But I love that his mentor, this thief, is taught illusionists and stuff like that. And there's even a funny scene where he's being taught how to hypnotize people.
Yeah.
And the guy hypnotizes him and he's wearing women's underwear and he doesn't remember. So he knows when he's bested that guy because he opens his shirt and he's got a bra on. He's like, don't get cocky. But the whole reason he even comes up with the persona of the Cape is that he spends time with his son reading comic books and they love this character called the Cape. So when he sees this Cape there and all the circus things, he kind of puts it on. And that's what's I love that scene where Keith David is basically saying, I've got to show my son what, that you've lost your mind, you know, that you're gonna be a superhero or whatever. So it's like, we know this is ridiculous, but we're selling it at the same time, which I like is what the show's doing. So here he's doing, it's like a little training montage where he's telling him what to do and telling him what he's going to do to train him.
This. This won't cut it. You need something special. But I do nothing halfway. This will cost you. You'll learn just how much the human body can withstand, and the mind. You give me your soul, Vince Faraday, and I'll make you the greatest circus act that ever lived.
It was one of a kind. Had varied elements, like a weighted hem for throws. It was designed for Cosmo, the Russian escapist. They called him Unkillable. Voila! It's made entirely of spider silk. Stronger than Kevlar.
Nice.
But thinner than filament. The trap!
See, that's something that would be in a comic, and as a kid, and I go, awesome!
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Spin.
Spider silk.
Spin.
Stronger than Kevlar. Sweet.
Cape must retract. Free you up to fight with a fighting form that embraces the cape. British Bartitsu. Kodokan Judo. The warrior dancers of the Tang Dynasty use their robes as weapons. Again. There are 37 vanishing illusions that use a cape. You will master them all.
When I was like, 37? How many times could you do the different vanishings or whatever? But it's cool. There's a great scene. His son, who not only thinks he's dead, also thinks his dad was this murdering villain, and everyone on the news is painting him to be. You know how they had the media circus about the homeless guy who could speak well? Just think of this guy. You know, he was Chess. The kid sees it everywhere, and he's reading the comic book, and all of a sudden the cape appears outside his window, and he goes out there and he's like, you're a real person. And he's like, I am real, and your dad was a friend of mine, and he was framed, he was a good man, and all this stuff. And then he does the cool vanishing act, and the kid's kind of like, whoa,
dude.
And he kind of like, you see that it really helps the kid, he believes. And I was waiting for the horrible scene where he go, mom, the cape is real. And she'd be like, son, no, it's not real. You're hallucinating. It never happened. That
nope.
scene never happened.
Thank God.
Would have happened on Heroes. And
yep.
And also, I'm going to talk. Remember on Heroes how everything was slow paced and they kind of talk and in an office or something? And it was just like, bump, 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 bump. That kind of music.
My father's research.
Yeah, none of that ever happened in this. He was the cape like 30 minutes into the show, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think he didn't truly become the cape until that last moment whenever Chess sees him in that kitchen and he does the vanishing.
Right. He's a work in progress because by the second hour he develops, he realizes his hood isn't working. You could still kind of see his face, so he makes a mask. And there's this great moment where he's in a store shopping for stuff for his costume. And these guys go in there to rob it. The guy's like, hey, man, don't be a hero or whatever. And he's like, I forget what he says, but he says, I am a hero. And he kicks his ass or whatever. But the guy goes, hey, man, you're like a real superhero. And he goes, who are you? He goes, I'm the cape. And he goes, yeah, well, you can still work on it. So, yeah, that's cool. And he's just kind of like, okay, whatever. And he kind of walks away. Just the guy wasn't too impressed with his name, which I thought was funny. And Summer Glau plays like Orwell, the all-seeing computer hacker.
Watchtower.
Yeah, she's the Watchtower. She's the Chloe of the show because she can hack into stuff. And there's I love the hospital thing, too, because there's this creepy...
Oh, so they have a hospital, too.
No, it was a restaurant.
Yes, but he doesn't go there.
Yeah, he never goes to the hospital, I don't think. But he goes to a restaurant. Remember that, Bill? He gets poisoned by a guy who...
Oh, yes, Kane.
Yes, there's some kind of guild of assassins called Tarot, and his name is Kane, and he works with poisons. And he had to figure out how to beat poison, too. I mean, it's cool, because basically, it reminded me kind of like how Batman in the old comics would have to figure shit out. And this is like This is poor Batman. He doesn't have any money.
Poor Batman.
There's a great scene also, Bill, where he's fishing together shitty computer parts to make his little crime
He's
computer.
Like on the street in Chinatown picking up old CRTs and throwing away keyboards.
And he's got a secret lair with all these old-ass computers there. I thought that was great. It's just like a junk
room. C64 over in the computer corner.
Yeah, he doesn't have a special car or whatever. But it's a lot of fun. And if you wanted to nitpick it, you could. But if you just watched it, you're entertained by it. Because I know people say, man, it's just like Batman. You know, we've seen this before. It's like, I know you have, but they're bringing something different from the table to the table. It's a
Well, that's more than nitpicking. That's just bitching. Because this is it's an homage to comics.
Right.
Not a ripoff. Not, you know.
They're having a fun time, you know. And it's like they've – I like that Chess, they make him this villain. He's more like the Bruce Wayne, isn't he? He's this got all this money.
Yeah.
He's got this empire, and he's the bad guy.
And he wants control. He wants to kind of like the Emperor. He wants to scare people into submitting so that there's peace.
Yeah, when he's in the press, he's like talking about security for the city. And like, if you employ my team of my police force, you'll be safe or whatever. And when he first encounters the Cape, he seems genuinely excited. Like, who's this guy? You know, like.
Yeah.
And then when he kicks the Cape's ass, he's kind of like, I thought you were going to be something impressive. Lame. And whatever, he kicks his butt. But later, by the last hour, when finally he's done something impressive, and you see Chess just kind of looks at him, and he smiles like, whoa, okay, maybe this guy will be a willing adversary. I thought that was pretty cool. So I'm excited to see what else happens on the show. And I, you know, I honestly, after I watch it, Bill, I was like, I wonder what Bill's going to think of this. You know, because I know when you see the trailer to it, like during the summer or whatever, it's kind of like.
Yeah, it looked really goofy.
It's like, okay, what? I can't believe they
I didn't know it had started yet, though.
Put this on. Yeah, it's like 2 hours on Sunday. So it comes on Mondays, though. So check it out, Steven.
It seems like the first show that's written by actual comic fans.
Right. And I love the little side character, like the Carnival of Crime. I love all those characters. I think that's cool.
Yeah, I love the girl. She was kind of like a Harley Quinn and the little midget dude.
They're bank robbers, but he's like friends with them. He's helped them now, you know.
Yeah.
They're actually criminals. But one thing that it establishes is that they're not as bad as the real guy who's in charge. So it's cool. All right,
it's fun.
What do you guys think about Friday Night Lights? There has been two episodes, I believe, while we're gone.
It's been really dramatic.
Things have been spiraling out of control a little bit, haven't they?
They have.
It's kind of been sad.
Yeah, with Vince getting sidelined and.
Well, the Vince stuff is it's really irritating.
Well,
I mean, I know where they're going with it, but. The whole idea that one minute his dad is this guy who hasn't been around and he was a drug dealer, he got his mom hooked, all that, and he doesn't want him around, and then now it's like, oh, I'll do anything my dad says.
Well, that's how it shows maybe the charisma of his dad, you know, to sway, you know what I'm saying?
Because
you got your mom doing the drugs.
He's always needed a father, and his father's there now, and he's interested. And he drank the Kool-Aid, I think. But finally, his mom says something. You don't have to listen to everything your dad says. And it's kind of like, oh. And he kind of like sees how screwed up. But here's a scene here where he treats Jess like shit. Let's check this out. Just get an idea of what a dick he's been being.
Yeah.
You know, he's gotten a hothead. He's like what's his face? J.D. McCoy last season, isn't he? Real cocky and everything.
Y'all get your stuff together and get out of our field house right now.
Oh, wait.
Get the hell out of our field house right now. Pick it up and go.
I don't feel welcome here.
A defense that gave up a season of 14 first downs and 2 missed field goals to boot. These Lions look nothing like the team of the last 2 months.
Why would anyone have this radio show on?
Maybe we count our chickens too soon, folks. And maybe those chickens have come to roost. Coach Taylor's been riding this team with a loose rein all season, and tonight we saw the result of that. That wasn't a team out there, folks. It was a bunch of individuals trying to...
Like I ain't got nothing else better to do. I got a highlight reel to work on, homework. I'm tired.
Yeah, I'm sure Luke is tired, too.
Yeah, but I ain't his babysitter. Why I gotta hold his hand?
Because your coach asked you to?
Yeah, he would say something like that, simple. I mean,
Look, you can't just put it in there. I ain't your damn mate.
Oh, attitude. What's your problem?
Nothing's my problem. I'm tired of hearing you complain all the time. It's all you ever do in here. Bark about your teammates, about coach doing this, coach doing that, and that's all you ever do in here.
Well, if you don't like it, Jess, you don't have to
what?
Listen.
I can leave?
I said to you very clearly I didn't want you on this team. I don't want my girlfriend in the locker room talking to coach behind my back. I can't trust nobody no more.
I'm talking to coach? So now you're accusing me, huh? Now I'm against you too, huh, Vince? You know I had your back since day one. You the one that lied to him. You the one that skipped practice. You the one that talked all about yourself and forgot all about your teammates in that TV interview.
Again with the TV interview? Jess, I know I'm good, but I can't control what they put on TV.
Yeah, because it's never Vince's fault, right? I cannot believe you actually trying to sit here and blame me for you being in trouble with Coach. You just can't handle yourself, can you? Or maybe you got your dad's head so far up your ass you can't see nothing but your own damn ego.
Jess, you better watch your damn mouth.
Don't you tell me to watch my mouth.
My dad's going to get me into college. All right, ain't going to be Coach. Ain't going to be this team. And ain't going to be you neither.
Yeah, you're right. It ain't going to be me because I'm not needed, right? I can't stand being around your ass anymore.
All right, well, don't leave then.
I'm leaving because you know what? We're done, jackass. We're through.
Yeah, he is a jackass.
Yeah.
What the hell? Treating Jess like that. And also, finally, Tammy is getting somewhere with Epic. And there was this sweet scene where, first, last week, she found out that she was a liar, pretty much. But then she's getting her to do schoolwork, and she visits her at home, or she tries to help her out. But then there's the weird scene where
she gets accused of stealing.
Yeah. I guess, did she steal? She got violent, and she pushed Tammy, and then she got arrested. That was pretty messed up.
Well, yeah, that was kind of messed up that the teacher went grabbing for her bag.
Right.
I mean, even if I didn't steal something, I would kind of have a defensive reaction if somebody grabbed at my stuff.
I mean, what if she did have $20 in her? Does that mean that's the stolen?
Yeah, exactly.
How could you prove it? Yeah, and another thing is, remember at the beginning of the season, they all in the teacher's lines, they were like, ugh, when talking about Epic.
Yeah.
They've already made their mind up about her.
Right.
So if she thinks she's missing money, she's going to go, oh, Epic did it. And she's trying to she probably didn't steal it, I'm thinking.
No.
So like, that was just irritating.
She'll put on a coat later. Oh, there's a $20.
And another thing, I don't know about you guys, but Luke and Becky. When there's the great scene, you know, with the parents and she's going out to eat. I'm sorry, but I have not forgiven this dude's stupid mom.
No.
For the shit she did last season. She got Tammy fired, and she told everyone that Tammy told Becky to get an abortion, so she did. How could you look that bitch in the face, you know? I want them to address that shit from last season.
They won't, because they don't have time.
They don't have time to mess up. But it annoys the shit out of me when she's like, honey, they're kissing. It's like, they slept together and had a baby.
Our son, she
aborted the fetus. Remember what? What? Who cares if they kiss?
It wasn't an immaculate conception.
You dumb bitch. Hello. He's already penetrated her. What are you worried about pecking her on the cheek for, dumbass? Oh, I forgot about that. That was last season.
I thought kissing made the girl pregnant
in a swimming pool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that annoys the shit out of me. I'm sorry, I don't care how cutesy it gets or whatever, but uh-huh. I do like the fact that she's so friendly and like part of the family with Billy's wife. Mm-hmm. I think that even though it's just wrong in so many ways.
Yeah, and you know, that whole tipping waitress
at the strip club is not
going to titty bar, that's not going to work.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
And I think it's interesting that Billy – well, we find out that his wife's pregnant. She's really pissed about it and just sad about it. And Billy's all excited. I love the scene where Billy sticks the – he sticks the pregnancy test in his mouth. She goes, I peed on that. And he's like, oh. He's such a dumbass.
Yeah. Well, you know what? That's such a typical thing that like just an empty-headed guy would do. Like, you always got to put shit in your mouth. It's like you're still a child.
This is friggin' fantastic!
I love Billy.
He's awesome.
And then just all the crap going on with the team is just unbelievable. I don't know where the hell that's going to. But he puts Luke in there, and Luke wins the game for him. I thought that was good. So.
And then the fight, the what do you want to call it, the confrontation between Vince and his dad at the end.
He wanted to go right up and yell, bitch at the coach. And
I thought he was probably going to try and hit the coach or something, you know.
But also there's the whole thing that, you know they're setting up for the end of the season. Will the coach take this job that he's been offered?
He has to. In reality, you do not want to languish in high school football your entire life.
Right. He's got to get away from these kids. I think they even said him, though.
Well, that's what, well, you know, he had said, too. He goes, to get away from the drama, be around adults.
Mm-hmm. I know Buddy doesn't want to leave. But also, we've got Julie. She went off and
went back to Matt.
Went back to Matt, which I thought was cool. But as soon as they have this conversation, he realizes that something's up with her. First, he's happy to see her, but then she tells him what happened. I think it's kind of funny, his reaction.
I kind of have something I need to tell you, and I don't want you to freak out.
Okay.
Had an affair with the TA at my school.
Get out of here.
And he was married. And there was just this...
She's making this
big
up.
Mess. Aren't you gonna say something?
What do you want me to say?
I don't know. Are you mad? Are you...
Yes, Julie, I'm mad. I'm furious. I'm very disappointed in you. It's fine. It's fine.
I don't know. Just my parents got super pissed off.
Yeah, well, those are your parents. I'm not your parents. Okay? Look, it's not like we were together or anything. You can cheat on me. It's fine. But... I mean, I hope this doesn't freak you out, but I don't know. I think maybe that you and I need to, we need to go get breakfast. So I'm hungry. And there's a very good bagel place. It's down the street.
Bagels it is.
Bagels. All right. Dude, what are you doing?
I'm telling you about my day.
I know, but, I mean, what are you doing here in Chicago? Don't you have to... go home at some point.
Well, I thought that you said that I could stay.
Right, and you can, but do your parents even know that you're here? Look, this has all been great. This food is amazing. You're amazing. I don't want to be your safety net.
What is that supposed to mean?
I mean that it feels like you're only here because you're trying to avoid some stuff that's going on in your real life. You know, because you're supposed to be at college.
I am. It's not like I'm moving in with you or something.
No, don't get mad, okay? Do not get mad at
me.
I'm just trying to say to you, you have a life somewhere else that you need to be living, and that life is in Burleson.
So this whole week, you and me...
It's been amazing. It's been great. I wish you could stay longer. I wish you lived here, but... But you don't live here.
I gotta go for a walk.
Where?
I just need some air.
His band is touring.
Could you guys have done without that storyline? I mean, I was happy to see Matt, but I don't know where the hell they're going.
I thought it was a decent way to show that he's grown up and that it's time for her to grow up too.
Right. And, you know, I think, like, he chased her down, he hugged her, and he said, we're going to figure this out eventually. I think later on down the line, they'll get married or something. That's what they're
doing for us.
And that'll be the end of that. It was nice to see Matt again.
But I also liked that the way it was handled when she told him what happened and he goes in the bathroom and he has this look. Like, it wasn't that he was angry. It was that he was concerned.
Yeah.
Like it was a different reaction than I expected. I guess the cliched reaction would have been
like, what were you thinking? Or something like
that. Yeah, exactly. And he had this reaction of, well, you know, it's what happens, and I just don't want to be your rebound. I thought that was a really cool adult way to handle it.
Right. He's just saying, you know, you're here because you're trying to get away from your whatever. I think it'd be funny if next week she's like in Vegas or something. It's like, she still hasn't gone home.
She's become a stripper.
It's like, my God, Julie, she's never going to. Because some people live life like that. They never face the shit that they need to.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So it would be interesting if Julie never did and disappointed her dad for the rest of her life. Because that shit happens, you know? It just does.
That's life.
What are you doing?
Look at the Rickon sister.
Y'all get your stuff together and get out of our field house right now.
Okay.
Get the hell out of our field house right now.
You get the hell out of my house, huh? Also, did you guys see scenes next week is Tim Riggins?
Mm-hmm. Oh, damn it. Mine got cut off.
Goes up before the parole board.
Yeah, Tim Riggins will be back next week, and it looks like it's going to be good.
Good.
It looks like he doesn't want to see Billy.
I wouldn't want to see him either.
Well, he doesn't want Billy speaking for him at the parole hearing.
Right. So
that would be a mistake.
That'll be next week.
Then. And plus.
Huh? Hey, Bill, you ready to do the news?
I am.
All right, guys. Let's go ahead and do the news, uh-huh?
Some news.
Let me just get my backpack. Okay.
Medic? Right.
Medic! You know what's funny is you can't even tell what the hell he's saying there. I love...
It's like, do you really think a medic's going to help with a blast?
The guy's brains are on the table. Yeah,
I think it's past that point.
I love that.
That's what? Always one of my favorites because of the... what would you call that? It's not makeup. I mean, it's an entire fake head.
The animatronic head.
Yeah. Reaction. And it just looks so wrong.
Yeah.
It's...
All right.
Sounds stupid.
All right. So Carl, with a K, William Brown, 45, of Coopersburg, Pennsylvania, allegedly... stabbed another man in the leg with a steak knife Thursday night, but was drinking so heavily he can't remember why.
Oh my God.
Maybe it looked tasty.
Both Brown and the victim, James Barbagello, 36, were drinking alcohol at a friend's house. Brown stabbed Barbagello in the left leg after they got in an argument. Although neither could remember later what they were arguing about.
I am completely stunned.
A state police trooper said there was a lot of alcohol involved.
Guess so.
He's right. This happens.
Brown fled the house after the stabbing.
You're quite the detective.
But he later called 911... to report the incident. I guess he just felt really bad.
It's like, I really need to report myself.
I can't believe I stabbed my friend in the leg. Brown faces one felony count of aggravated assault, as well as one count of recklessly endangering another person, and two counts of simple assault. I don't know how those add up, but that's a lot.
You know that he really did it on purpose, and he's just pretending to have forgotten it, right?
You think so?
Because he muttered this before he stabbed him.
Begin Operation Hot Zone Kill.
But he missed the guy's
hot zone. Wait, what did you say?
He missed his hot zone.
Marcel is kind of an ass.
Got him in the leg instead.
Pat Robertson's at it again in one of this week's broadcasts of the 700 Club, which I can't believe is still on the air. He claimed that God created the blizzard currently battering the Northeast to punish Americans who were planning to drive to do something gay.
I saw that.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
I'm going to head down to the store and do something gay, guys. Oh, shit. There's a huge blizzard. God is trying to keep me from doing something
Man,
gay.
I'm
yes,
really
I'm not
craving.
Doing anything gay today.
I'm craving so much man ass right now.
I guess I could stay home and do something gay.
He's right. This happens.
Is it gay if you do it to yourself? No.
I can't believe he actually said that.
Well, what did he say?
Oh, come on. He said worse.
Yeah, that's true.
What did he say about the...
awesome.
What was it, in Haiti? God, what did he say about...
The earthquake. They had a deal with the devil?
Right, like way back in the day. It was just completely ignorant shit.
He's crazy.
Oh. He continued, because of the bad road conditions, the Almighty has made any gay activities that people were planning on doing to be postponed by a day or two.
A day or two.
Straight activities
get back to your gayness in a day or two.
That doesn't make any sense.
God only wants you to do gay things 5 days out of the week, not seven. So the one or two days is, you know, observance.
I see.
Gay observance day.
I love footlong.
Yeah, it's Don't Be Gay Days.
So do you think there are people who watch him and they're like, mm-hmm, when he says stuff like that?
Absolutely. He also said God shut down major airports in the New York area so that people who are hoping to fly to do something of a gay nature would have to take a train or a bus.
I'm back!
Because, what, only fairies fly?
Yeah. Well, Steven, you would know! Ooga!
Wow.
Taking a train, going through a tunnel,
is that
supposed to try and convert you?
Is that Ooga thing, like a Howard Stern thing?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. I was wondering what that was.
I remember whenever he would do Out of the Closet Stern, he would go, Ooga!
What does that mean?
I think it's just, you know,
who knows?
A very gay thing. I don't know. Maybe our gay people say Ooga.
Are you a fairy?
But as for the millions of straight people in New York City who are also grounded by the bad weather, Pat Robertson said, I think God probably wonders if these people are really straight. What are they doing in New York?
Oh, okay.
That's stupid.
Wow.
Just wow.
I know. There's like no other way to... You can't even rationalize it.
Well, that's kind of far out.
It is.
It is.
I don't know. For somebody to put so much thought into gay things, doesn't that kind of up a flag?
That's what I thought when I saw it.
Maybe a rainbow-colored flag?
People just need to change the channel.
All right, and this man must have heard the same thing from Pat Robertson, and he wanted to retaliate for it. So a homeless man in Louisville, Kentucky, has been charged with indecent exposure after police said he defecated on church property. according to the arrest records, a Louisville Metro police officer saw William D. Wilkerson, 54, in front of the Cathedral of the Assumption with his pants around his waist. Wait, if they were around his waist,
His waist.
I think there's a typo here. Wouldn't they have to be around his ankles? If they were around his waist, he'd be shitting his pants.
Well, that's where they belong, is around your waist, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Last time I checked. Yeah, my pants are around my waist. Police said he was bent over and defecating. According to the arrest records, the official also saw Wilkerson's genitals. Oh my gosh, that happens?
Can't stand it around your ass anymore.
He should put those away while he's defecating.
You gotta be kidding me! This is friggin' fantastic!
And that's actual audio from the scene. Police said Wilkerson had bloodshot eyes, was unsteady on his feet, and smelled strongly of beer.
Did he say it was holy?
he got it from the holy font. Police said Wilkerson admitted that he'd been drinking. When asked how much, he said, "Enough, cracker."
Don't bust my balls,
cracker.
I love it. He called him a cracker.
Think it's about the game.
Wilkerson is charged with public intoxication and second degree indecent exposure. You know what? I don't even understand these law things.
The different degrees of exposure?
How many degrees of exposure are there?
A little disconcerting.
Like, what degree is completely naked?
Yeah, is that, like, first degree? Or do you have to... Does this have to do with, like, meditation? Like, first degree is meditation, second degree is just kind of your balls hanging out?
I'm gonna
you don't mean for people to see
ass.
It, but if they do see it, it's second degree?
Isn't, like when you get burned, isn't third degree, like, worse than first degree?
I don't know if that works the same way in law.
I know, that's what I'm just going.
I don't know if you can go, like, how badly burned were you? That's a second degree burn. No, I don't know, Stephen. I wish I did. If we have any law people, and, you know, the people that practice the law, maybe they can explain the whole
please put
genital
a definition
exposure
on
degrees.
On the forum or something explaining it.
Yeah. All right. Albuquerque police found a man with his pants down. There you go. Passed out in a car and blocking the entrance to a cemetery. Edward Archuleta was found sleeping in his car with his pants pulled past his buttocks at Sunset Memorial Park in Northwest Albuquerque Monday afternoon. When asked by police why he was there, he said he was trying to sleep. He didn't remember how he got there. Police say Archuleta did not have identification on him, but he gave the officers his correct date of birth. When asked by officers how old he was, he changed his age and said he was 23. Not 26, as he is. The officer became suspicious because, you know, when somebody says they're younger than they are, that's very suspicious.
He's right. This happens.
Yeah, it does. Police then asked Archuleta for the keys to the vehicle, and he complied. On the keychain, a small red container was attached where inside four bags were found containing a white crystal substance.
On his keychain?
Yes, he likes to keep his meth in within reach. Field test was performed, and police confirmed the substance was in fact methamphetamine.
That's too bad.
Archuleta was then arrested and taken to Metropolitan
Metropolis
Center for booking. His bail was set at $2,500 cash. I wonder if they pulled his pants up for him. Now, if the cops don't pull your pants up, is that do you get a degree exposure? Is that first degree? Why was this not mentioned in here? If he's in his car and he's got his pants down, do they don't charge him because he's in his car?
The acoustics up here are incredible.
I'm really, really concerned about this whole degrees of exposure.
We're going to have to find this out.
Don't be a martyr.
I know. All right, South Charleston, West Virginia, a man caught with a stolen car told police he bought the vehicle from a woman using meth as a payment.
Dumb.
So maybe this guy was in Albuquerque and paid the guy naked in a car with the meth.
Huh.
I'm grasping straws here. There's got to be an explanation for so much meth use in 1 week. West Virginia State Police out of South Charleston tells WSAV.com Jerry Wayne Means. That's a great name. Was driving down I-77, the Oldsmobile Intrigue. Wow.
I'm sick!
An Oldsmobile Intrigue Means was driving, came up stolen on troopers.
That's a fly ride.
I can't believe he paid for an Oldsmobile Intrigue with meth.
Isn't everybody as excited as I am?
Means was pulled over and arrested. While in police custody, Means admitted he rented the car from a woman and used $50 bags of meth as payment. Means later told police he bought the car for 2 grams of meth. Means was charged with possession of a stolen vehicle, delivery of methamphetamine, and not having an operational driver's license. Okay.
And no rental agreement.
This woman sold the car for meth. And then reported it stolen. So does that not, you know, get her involved with the whole thing?
We're going to go for a little ride.
Maybe she sobered up and was like, made it all up.
Yeah.
Well, couldn't you say that that dude made it all up? I've never seen him before in my life.
Well, is it possible she was high when she did that and then she got sober and realized her car was gone? Because she was totally out of it.
But still, even so, you could still say you don't know this guy.
And you get your car back?
Yeah.
Yeah. He'd say, well, I want my drugs back. And tell the cop to make him give it back.
That's a high-quality Oldsmobile.
Ha, ha, ha.
Hey, Oldsmobile, great cars. Don't go laughing. All right. Last story. I guess this is one way to deal with thieves. In Calgary, Alberta, Canada, two central Alberta farmers served up some cold, hard justice to an alleged fuel thief on their property, leaving him tied up and pantsless. What's with these pants? Come on,
this week.
Put your pants on.
What degree of nude?
Yeah, what degree?
Completely stunned.
What degree of the pantslessness? This is third degree pantslessness. You're going to serve jail time for this, son. Having fallen victim to a thief at their ranch near, I'm not even going to try to pronounce, east of Olds Alta, a handful of times, Tim Lynch and his son Chris sprang into action Wednesday morning when they are alerted to a truck on the property with similar tire tracks that they have seen before. Or trackers. Chris confronted the man in an attempt to delay him from fleeing and realized the unwanted visitor may have been sitting in a stolen truck. He put it into gear, put it to the floor. I jumped on the running board and held onto the steering wheel and reached in and grabbed the shift stick and held it in park. I'm yelling at my dad to get the guy out of the truck. He managed to get in the truck, but the man threw it back into drive and took the pair on a ride across the yard as they struggled. Man, this could be a movie. The truck again stopped. Chris then wrestled with the man to the back seat, avoiding swings of a pry bar, while his dad ran for a rope. I got him headlocked. What?
Headlocked.
Damn it, I had to go and ruin it. I got him headlocked until Dad got the rope around his feet. The duo then dropped the man, who was wearing pajama pants, but no underwear, onto the snow. Well, thanks for that detail. His bare ass was hanging out, Chris said. We tied it around his ankles, then grabbed another rope and tied his hands, and the police arrived about 40 minutes later. Wow, that's swift justice.
Stand it around your ass anymore.
The father-son pair said their vigilante justice was just instinct. You come across someone threatening your livelihood and family, it's an instinct. We work with cattle, it works with them, so we figured it would work with him. Fact it did.
We're done, jackass. We're through.
Next time this guy decides to try to steal some cattle, he should wear some underwear.
Swords, poison, spells, battles, maiming, killing.
Pantslessness of the third degree.
Could you tackle a guy with his ass hanging out?
No. I don't want to go anywhere near a ass hanging man.
Ass hanging man. Don't kill.
Hot. So that's exactly what the father and son executed on this man.
I was on the edge of my seat
son,
with that.
Begin Operation Hot Zone Naked Ass Man Tackle.
You're not getting our cattle, you.
That's kind of far
pants,
out.
Man.
Was that a gay act?
Yes. I think that's exactly what Pat Robertson was talking about.
Is it?
These are things that God wanted to prevent, but yeah, God doesn't watch over Canada.
Far out gay.
Canada's godless. You're on your own, Canada. And that's news for this week.
All right, Bill. Thanks for doing the news this week. Steven, you ready to sing the DVD song?
Let's see if I remember the lyrics.
I know. It's been a while. Let's go ahead and give it a old college try. Ow!
Let's do some DVDs!
I think we got it!
DVDs, HD, Blu-ray, standard definition!
DVDs! Oh, hell yeah, the DVDs! Nice.
It just explodes.
One of yous was going home.
Huh?
One of yous.
I don't even know what that sentence means. All right,
now,
Bill.
Here's a question. Maybe one of you can answer it. Jason, you might know.
You mean yous?
One of yous.
One of yous. The DJ from Yo Gabba Gabba.
DJ Lance Rock.
Yes, Lance Rock. Is he the same as Bootsy Collins?
Is he Bootsy Collins?
Yeah.
Is that what you're... I don't know. He seems young. It seems like Bootsy Collins is kind of old.
Well, I guess Bootsy Collins is old. It just... They have that same flair.
You know what? They're very... they're individuals.
They're inspired by Bootsy Collins. P-Punk.
No, the real question
you
is...
You watch it, punk.
Why do you know his name? That's what I want to know.
Who, DJ Lance Rock?
Yeah.
Because I have a daughter...
Watches.
Do you watch it?
Yes.
Why not?
I'm not afraid of kid shows. I watch all that stuff with
I you. Leave the room.
Oh, I don't mind that stuff.
He is a supervisor in case DJ Lance Rock does something inappropriate.
No.
Pulls his pants down.
Honestly, goes pantsless.
Honestly, guys, I like kid shows just as much as my daughter. I always have. I like Saturday morning cartoons.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even Yogi Bear.
Yes, Yogi Bear.
Hey, Hanna-Barbera Yogi Bear cartoons were fantastic.
That's different, though.
You know, there is some stuff that could be inappropriate, though. I mean, I'm just saying kid shows. I mean, not saying kid shows, but...
That's more like Robot Chicken. I can't let her watch
that.
Yeah,
exactly.
But, Robot Chicken.
But like SpongeBob or something like that, I love watching that with her, and we both laugh and have a good time.
Okay, I have seen all of the SpongeBob.
Yeah. Yo Gabba Gabba, she enjoys watching that, and I'll sit there and watch it with her, or... We'll play the music or whatever. It's cool.
I've watched it with my niece. It can be very goofy and kind of surreal.
Yeah, it's just silly stuff. You ought to give it a try, Laura. I think you would like.
Well, Gage isn't into Yo Gabba Gabba.
You can watch it with Severin.
Yeah, he's a little old for that.
Oh, yeah, never too old for Yo Gabba Gabba.
Yeah,
oh, you think?
Come on.
Hey, look, you know, didn't... How many like people have actually appeared on that? I know Tony Bourdain was on it, and
Jack Black did a whole episode.
Frodo was on it doing a dance.
Elijah Wood. Yeah, there's all sorts of guest stars. Also, Mark Mothersbaugh is always on there, and Devo, the whole band, has been on there.
Really? Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, he does their theme song though, didn't he?
He does. He does several things. He does this little drawing thing of the day. He's like on every episode.
Picture pages.
Yeah, kind of like picture pages.
I mean, he does a lot of kids' theme songs for their beginning of their...
Rugrats.
That's before my daughter was born. So
he did Rugrats.
Oh, okay. Okay. Whoa. Mm-hmm. Calm down.
Yeah, he did Beakman's World, too.
He did?
Yes, he did.
That was in the intro. Nice.
Yes, it was.
I'll get your stuff together and get out of our field house right now.
What the hell? We're not in your field house, Coach.
We're out of our field house right now.
We're out. I'm going to have to ask you to leave, Coach.
You know, and he also did the theme for the Super Mario World Super Show thing.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and say he's a pimp, yo. Martin Motherfucker's a pimp. Yeah.
He is a new wave pimp. All right. So, DVDs for Tuesday, January 18th, 2011, starting off with one of my favorite films of the year. Not your typical happy-go-lucky film. It's called Animal Kingdom. It's an Australian film about a young man whose mother dies of a heroin overdose, and he has to move in with his grandmother, who happens to be the kingpin of a crime family.
Number twos and doing poos.
Yeah, a crime family of reckless, delinquent pooing.
Is it like a carnival of crime, if you will?
No, but they're scary. Freaking much like brilliant. Carnival.
I've heard this is a good movie.
It is a really good movie. It's very dark. It's a crime drama. Pretty, I guess you could call it that. I hate the cover. I'll tell you up front, the cover is just awful because it's one of those composite of all the actors in the movie.
What a piece of shit.
Yeah, some horrible quote from it says, an Australian answer to Goodfellas. It's like, no, I'm sorry, it's not.
The first thing I think of is Mutual of Omaha when I hear the title.
Yeah.
Animal Kingdom.
Yeah.
Bum-bum-ba-da-da-da-da-da-da.
But don't let the ugly cover art distract you.
So it's
put it on your Netflix queue. It's an excellent film, but you'll probably only ever want to watch it once.
Okay.
I'm hoping that it appears. I'm hoping it appears on Netflix, like through the gift shop.
Wow.
Where the hell did Charlie in the Box come from?
It's Charlie.
Good old Charlie.
No child wants to play with a Charlie in the box.
There's a reason for that.
Yeah. All right, next. next DVD and Blu-ray is, and I'm going to get shit for this because I it's just my accent. I say it's called Buried, but some people probably say Buried. How would you say buried?
Buried.
Buried.
Buried. Okay. Because it's B-U-R-I-E-D. And I've always said buried. So.
Yeah, buried.
All right. I just get very...
Maddied!
For the longest time, I got shit when I lived in Michigan because I have a long O pronunciation of things. And in Michigan, everything is... It's a very short O, almost like an A.
Like
so they
what?
Say like... I say pop, and they would say pap.
Pap. Pap.
Pap. Yeah, pap, like that. Everything, anything that had an O was a very short O, almost an A. And I would get constantly harassed, like, say it again, say pop again, say it again, pop. So I get very, you know.
How do you say crayons?
Crayons?
Well, I just know some people, like from crayons. Up north, they call them crayons.
Crayons,
I've heard
yeah.
crayons.
Yeah.
Because we worked with this dude, Tim, and I embarrassed him. I go, what did you say? He goes, crayons? Say that again. He's like, shut up. No. What did you just say?
Crayons. But that was for me every day at school whenever I went to school in Michigan.
I got a box of crayons. Say this. Shut up. Go away. No, say this. What does this say? It says crayons.
Hey, okay. Can you get me those colored wax sticks? What are they called?
Or like some people, colors. I'm drawing with colors. Oh, you're color. Retarded too, aren't you?
I get to draw with
Crayola
color.
Crayons.
Yeah,
or crayons.
Buried,
Kranz.
Buried is the Ryan Reynolds film where he's buried.
He's buried.
Buried.
I guess what part, what state would that be? Two for buried?
Know. Who says buried?
Well, it's like there's
some, I've heard it. I just don't know, you know.
Well, there's some people in Texas, Bill, that say oil is pronounced Earl.
Earl?
Get my Earl changed. Or like battery is pronounced battery.
Battery?
You either say cement or cement.
Yeah, I have heard
guitar
both.
Guitar or guitar?
Guitar.
Meaning what?
Okay.
Good time.
What was that?
That's a lost Saeed.
It is Saeed.
Good I thought Saeed. It was the porta potty emptying.
What do you suggest? We shoot him like a dog?
I miss Lost.
Aw, Saeed.
It's gone forever.
When I got my dad watching Lost, he would always say Saeed. I would be like, no, Saeed. It's Saeed.
Do you remember that creepy Saeed laugh?
I need to watch Lost again.
That was friggin' genius.
So yeah, buried.
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 Check it out.
I'm going to call it that from now on.
He's in a box.
Hey, we got Ryan Reynolds in a box in here.
It's another one of those covers where they've got to blow up.
But he's not fresh.
Is that anything like CEO in a box?
Hey, you got Green Lantern. Hey, that trailer looks shitty as hell. Just let me out. No.
Why you gotta be at everything? Go away
I
for a while.
I wanna turn around and take this base and throw it like a frisbee across the kitchen. That's exactly what I wanna do.
What is the premise of the movie?
He's buried. Buried.
He's buried. What?
He's buried.
That's it?
Yeah. He's in a box with a phone. And he's got to, I
get
don't know.
Get
he's just gonna make him find it.
What are you talking about? <from me? laughs> You know, I didn't make a damn movie.
You know, buried.
But it's one of those covers that has about a gazillion, well, like, two-word reviews, like, beyond intense, claustrophobic, suspenseful, crazy good thriller, terrifically terrifying.
Limited like, oh, oxygen supply.
Yeah. I've turned into a cover art Nazi. I can't stand badly done, review-laden cover art ever since the Social Network box. You know, they come in those cardboard slipcases now. It's just plastered with 4 stars, 5 stars, best, you know, film of the year. It is just, ugh. I hate boxes like that.
Slow down when you're talking.
Shut your mouth, PC.
PC.
All right, next DVD is actually a series that Shout Factory has decided to go back and release in its entirety. Do you remember a series called Dark Skies?
Start over. Call my name like you just got here.
It's like...
Dark
Gary,
Dark Skies,
Mr. Busey.
Dark Skies.
Yeah, it's God, I can't wait until The Celebrity Apprentice.
All that can pop into my head is like Dark Star.
Dark Skies was a very short run series that I believe. I'm not sure what channel it was on. I think it was NBC. They tried to do their own version of The X-Files.
Yeah.
Oh.
It was like a UFO conspiracy theory type show. I think it only lasted probably one season, maybe less.
Oh, that's neat. It's going to be 3D.
But the craziest thing about it is that they tried to tie it into history. Like, they would have different historical figures show up in the show. Like, I know one episode was the Beatles, and another one was, like, Jim Morrison. It was really, really not good.
Rodney Allen Rippey.
Yes, exactly.
Who is on it?
God. It was Eric Close, who you wouldn't recognize his name, but you'd recognize his face.
He'd stand way too... He's a bit of a close talker.
Yeah. He gets right up in your face. It's really, really disconcerting.
Eric, you're a little close. That's my name, don't wear it out. You're really annoying.
You should change your name to
Eric
Annoying.
Get the F away from me.
That's too bad.
All right, but yeah, this is why I love Shout Factory, because they grab shows like this and just throw the entire season on with a load of extras and release it. Shout Factory is really good for that. And also, they do have the entire run of Freaks and Geeks available in its awesome yearbook edition.
Awesome.
Which is really, really cool.
Check out
Shout Factory. They have all kinds of cool stuff.
I watched. I finally watched the whole run of Freaks and Geeks over vacation. Yeah. It was awesome. I love it.
It ends too soon. It's just really good.
I keep thinking of stuff like TBS has a show called Glory Days, and I'm like, if only Freaks and Geeks could be on now, it would run forever on a channel like TBS, you know, instead of like on NBC where it's canceled after like a couple of weeks or whatever.
Freaks and Geeks was like. There were two shows that were appointment television for my dad and I, and that was Freaks and Geeks and Ed on NBC.
Mm-hmm.
I miss shows like that.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on. Sorry. Didn't mean to bore you. Death Race 2 on DVD and Blu-ray.
I'm back!
It was so good, the first one, that they didn't even want to bother with the theatrical release on the second. They just wanted to get this sucker out to the people.
Again, we go back to the first Death Race that Joan Allen says, I invented Death Race. And I can't get past that part of the movie, so the whole thing's unbelievable. Joan Allen thought up Death Race, Stephen. Yeah. As you're watching it, you're like, so Joan Allen thought up this?
She's evil.
While she was sitting on the toilet.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
And I just want you to know that in case you were hesitant about this one, because you know the original was written and directed by Paul W.S. Anderson.
Yes.
This one may not be directed by him, but it is co-written by and produced by.
Oh.
So it still has that special Paul W.S. Anderson touch.
I'm a huge fan of Paul Thomas W.S. Anderson.
Yeah. And I know that Sean Bean is, you know, you're quite a fan. So
I believe his name is pronounced Sean Bean.
Sean Bean.
Or Sean Bond.
Hello, Mr. Sean Bean.
When you look at his name, it's like, it's got to rhyme, right? Look at that name. E-A-N-E-A-N. Sean Bean.
You idiot.
Hey. I've seen that bean.
Sean Bean.
How can somebody go from like Lord of the Rings to Death Race 2? How does that even work?
We need to call him and ask him. Yeah. How did this happen? Leave me alone.
Does Paul W.S. Anderson have something on you?
Hello, ladies.
Would you rather work with Paul W.S. Anderson or Uwe?
Holy shit, that's a tough one. That's like Sophie's Choice.
I think eventually you just like, you know, I need to pay my rent this week.
I guess I would have to go for Paul W.S. Anderson because at least... Oh, well, Jesus, I don't even know how I can rationalize that. No, I can rationalize it. Uwe Boll can't make a film worth a shit. And at least Paul W.S. Anderson has some talent.
You don't even want to say that, do you?
No, I don't.
Hey, you got to say this.
I feel dirty.
Paul W.S. Anderson.
Want to box you.
I'm sick of saying his stupid W.S. But his movies look nice. They're shot nice.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's about the only... Whereas Uwe Boll's films look like they were shot on video, so...
Uwe Boll.
If you want to see a great Uwe Boll movie, just go see Far Cry. I mean, watch Far Cry with our favorite guy, Til Schweiger.
That's such a great German name.
In between,
like, I hear that name and I see goose stepping in my mind.
Casting sessions with the strippers.
Wow. Okay, so moving on.
Hi, here's Uwe Boll.
Bye, Uwe.
Goodbye, Uwe.
Bye-bye.
Marcel is next kind of an asshole.
On DVD is Dennis Leary's latest stand-up DVD, Douchebags and Donuts.
I like
which
the title.
Is a great title.
Yeah.
Steven, do you still hate Dennis Leary?
I'm just not a fan of his, yeah. I understand people like him, and that's fine.
You cooled a little on the hatred, right?
I never hated him. I just didn't think he was funny.
You were violently
I'm kind of. Honestly, I'm in Steven's camp. I don't hate him. I just don't think he's funny.
You did, Steven.
I hated him on MTV when he was the big ranter.
Do you hate...
That was a long time ago, Steven.
That's awesome.
He doesn't let it go.
Do you still hate Will Ferrell?
Do you realize that was like 25 years ago, Steven?
I saw the other guy and I hated it as much as I hated the Anchorman. And
oh my God, you're back. Wow.
The other guys, suck.
Look at those guys. Wow. Wow. Look at that. Wow. You know what? You smell like a look at your ass.
No.
Was somebody showing Dennis Rodman their ass?
Not as far as I know.
Second degree pantsing.
One of you was going home.
All right, so next Blu-ray and DVD is a film that has an incredibly exciting title. I think it draws people to it. Jack Goes Boating.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Because when I see this title, I go, damn, I want to see that.
What does he do in the movie?
Apparently he goes boating a lot.
Regrettably, no.
I think the key to this film is Philip Seymour Hoffman has dreadlocks in it.
Oh, Bill, I got to correct you there. It's
Seymour?
It's Seymour Philip Hoffman.
Seymour. Yeah. What was that, the Oscars?
Yeah.
That... Somebody called him Seymour Philip Hoffman. Is that Alan Arkin or someone up there?
Yeah, something like that.
It was really embarrassing and hilarious.
He's right. This happens.
It does. but yeah, it's Seymour Philip Hoffman and someone else.
Maybe he just wanted to see more of Philip Hoffman.
Maybe.
Oh yeah, you're right. He wanted to see more of him. He hadn't seen him in a while, or he'd seen him very sporadically that year, and he wanted to see more of Philip Hoffman.
I will see anything that Philip Hoffman is in.
What is that supposed to mean?
No, it means that I'm a fan of his.
I am too.
It's the opposite of Steven and Will Ferrell or Dennis Leary. I enjoy what the performances that... Oh, for fuck's sake.
You gotta be kidding me! This is freaking fantastic!
Okay. Yes. But I very much like Philip Seymour Hoffman. And I will rent Jack Goes Boating despite the awful title.
Alright.
Okay, moving on.
You know what's going to happen, Bill? You're going to watch it and you're like, where the hell? When is he going to go boating? He's on dry land. It's like, well, oh my God, it's 45 minutes into this flick. When the hell is this going to happen?
Well, if they're going to tease me about it, I'm just going to get angry.
Not good.
All right. Next is something I'm very excited about, but also very pissed off about. About 4 weeks ago, I wanted to watch the entire run of Justified season one.
Right. Great show.
And the only way I could grab it was on Amazon Video on Demand. They had the entire season in HD. So I shelled out, I think it was $35 for the entire season, you know, digitally.
Wow.
I know. It's because I wanted to watch it. I was so invested in early on in the show. And then I just stopped watching after like five episodes. And I wanted to watch it. So I caved and I bought it on demand. And that's only because they didn't specify a release date for it. And now, this week, we get Justified Season 1 on Blu-ray and DVD.
I'll come put a pillow over your face.
Yeah, just put me out of my misery.
And how much is it? About 35 bucks?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Yeah, so I'm a little pissed off. A little. Maybe if I call Amazon and explain, they'll give me a physical copy of it.
Certainly,
but I will
put
have
you
it
on
digitally
hold.
Forever. Bastards. All they had to do was, you know, put up a date. Hey, this is going to be out in 4 weeks.
Is it in HD at least?
Yeah, it is. It is. But, I mean, how much HD is there whenever you're streaming it as opposed to a Blu-ray disc? You know?
I would just watch it and you'll enjoy it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only thing I can do. And I did watch it, and I did enjoy it, and I'm really looking forward to season two.
Nothing a few beers can fix, right?
It's really a great, you know, show. I don't want to use, like, gritty and all that shit.
It's dark
so
and brooding.
Yeah, it's just, it's fantastic. I love the setting. The whole Ozarks and, you know, it's just so rich with character that
no! I just saw Jay Leno's on my TV. I got to change the channel.
How did that happen? God.
Change it now!
Change it now!
Get
it off my TV!
It went back onto it.
Get that douchebag off my TV!
I'm not even going to dignify myself in response to that.
All right, it's gone. It's on Letterman.
See how many rings he was wearing?
Laura, show.
Sorry.
Who?
Lara's watching.
Now I'm interested.
I can't talk about it.
First things first. Where's your shitter?
Oh. Okay. Moving on. We're almost done. We're in the home stretch. I have never in my life seen a film by Samuel Fuller. But Criterion has found it their heart to give us The Naked Kiss and Shock Corridor on Blu-ray.
Aww.
Neither of which I've ever seen, and I'm not sure if I should. But it's Criterion, so I probably will watch it on Netflix.
Sounds stupid.
Yeah, I've heard that there are good films, but I don't know anything about them.
Let's move on.
I was wondering if any of you did.
No.
If I did, it was on accident.
Okay.
We've just disturbed film historians everywhere, haven't we?
Yeah. Well,
we're gonna go for a little ride.
Shit happens.
Yes, it does.
And
you know how I know that?
He's right. This happens.
Mm-hmm. It does. It happens.
Yikes.
All right, last DVD.
Bill just did a Forrest Gump, you guys.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
That's
shame on me. Shame on me. And whenever he wipes his face with that shirt, what comes of it? After he says, it happens.
Shit.
No, the guy looks at his shirt,
it looks like
and it's the
face.
Smiley face from the 70s, the whole have a nice day face.
Right.
Yeah, I'll admit right now I saw that movie probably Oh, no lie, 10 times in the theater.
In the theater?
Yeah, when I was in high school, my friend Tim and I were absolutely obsessed with Forrest Gump.
Sometimes Bill shows
I saw it last year for the first time. Like
for
all
the first
through.
Time, really?
Did you like it?
It's okay.
Yeah, it's a little much.
By the way, it won the Oscar instead of Shawshank Redemption. That's
yeah,
wrong.
What? That is
that's wrong.
Effort. That is exactly what upsets me.
I don't know what else to say.
Because I had no idea, no clue. Shawshank Redemption wasn't even on my radar when I was in high school and going to see Forrest Gump every friggin' weekend for 10 weeks.
Oh, my God.
And
wow.
If I would have known that Shawshank Redemption...
What a waste.
Yeah, I would have... because years and years and years later, I saw it on HBO for the first time. I was like, wow, that was an amazing film. And then I kind of went back and researched and looked when it came out and all that, and I saw that it came out the same time as Forrest Gump and all
I'll
that.
I have to pee.
Yeah. I wasted my time on Forrest Gump.
I mean, you've got to find your inner pirate.
Like peas and carrots, Jenny.
All right, so last DVD
if I saw Forrest
and
Gump,
Blu-ray.
I'd shoot him.
What?
That's harsh.
If I saw Forrest Gump, I'd shoot him.
Oh,
is that bad?
Outrun this, Forrest.
Outrun this. Faster than a speeding bullet.
Oh, man. It's like a mixture between, you know, Hard Target and Forrest Gump. You're hunting Forrest
Hard
Gump.
Hard Target.
I heard you can run fast, boy. I was running.
I was running.
All right. Okay. All right, Bill, what else we got?
Jenny, I've been shot, Jenny.
Wow, you really don't like Forrest Gump.
Damn you, Forrest Gump. I hope he's dead. Okay, what else we got, Bill?
This last DVD and Blu-ray is called Stone. And it's got Robert De Niro, Mila Jovovich.
Mila Yo-Yo. Yo-Yo Crazy Bitch.
Multipass.
I'm Crazy Bitch.
And Eddie Norton with cornrows.
Oh, nice. Wait, what's this movie called?
Stone. No, Stone. Not Stone.
No.
Stone.
Oh.
And apparently, according to Susan Granger at SSG Syndicate, it's a superbly crafted, smartly acted, suspense-filled thriller.
Wow.
Well, thank you, Susan Granger. Wait, what is her name?
Yeah, Susan Granger.
There's a clip from the movie.
Big about multi-pass?
Big. By the big boom.
I'm not watching
Shut
this
your
movie.
Mouth.
I'm not watching this movie.
And take your big bada boom and shove it up your ass. Bada boom.
Don't bust my balls.
All right, and that is DVDs for this week.
Bada boom.
Shut up.
All right, Bill. Thanks for doing the DVDs this week.
We're done, jackass. We're through.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week, try the veal. And see.
No, I couldn't ask for another.
in Operation Hot Zone Killed.
Nice.
I always thought that D Light lady was kind of hot.
Yeah, she wore like a skin tight outfit or something.
Yeah. I don't know what the hell her name was. D Light lady, maybe.
Lady Miss Kier.
How do you know that?
Whoa. I don't know.
I thought her name was D Light for some reason.
Yeah,
I was staging.
D Light was the band name or group name or whatever.
I am completely stunned.
Oh my God! What the hell happened to her?
All right, everyone.
I'm looking.
Yeah, you're gonna have to Google that.
Kill it with fire.
All right, guys. That was episode 223 of the show. Nowhere Mulberry. Thanks for coming to listen to us. Go to nowheremulberry.com. You can find links to our forum and send us an email at nimpodcast@gmail.com or send us a voicemail at 1-206-202-3491. And Laura, I can't forget that you're doing this thing where you're submitting an entry in a contest, right?
Yes.
Where Laura is a personal trainer. Stop me if I'm wrong with things I say. And there's a contest where you do your own video and you submit it. And if you get enough votes, you win what?
You can win a 2-DVD fitness DVD contract.
Sweet. So that's what you want to do with this entry.
Vote that shit up, yo.
Vote it up.
So you need people to vote.
Yes.
Okay.
Where do we go?
You go to www.fitnessdvdstar.com.
Okay, and just look for your name on there.
Yep.
Which is?
Laura Wells.
Laura Wells. Find her entry, and if you want to help her out, vote for it. I know I will. I know Steven will plan to, and he'll never do it.
I'm gonna enter the contest.
Steven, how could you?
You have to remind me. So you'd say it now, and then like the day of voting, be like, did you vote for me?
It starts this Sunday, and it goes for a whole month. You got a whole month
to
vote.
So
do you vote once, or do you vote every day?
I'm not sure yet, because it hasn't opened for voting yet. I just know it.
Yeah, I'm on the website looking for votes, and you can't vote yet.
So it's going to happen soon. So by the time maybe this show comes out, people will be able to.
Yes, please vote for me.
Yeah, help Laura out. Come on, man. Also, remember, I'll have the best of show out, and hopefully people who like the show will want to check it out. There's a lot of funny shit in it, man. I'm serious. It's crazy. It's insane. Laura, describe what I played for you earlier.
It was kind of like the best of Vanessa.
And there was some Steven.
Yeah, there was some Steven. It was really funny, though.
Some good stuff in there. If you like listening to the show, I think you'll enjoy it. There's a lot of stuff from back in the day, you know, maybe in the last year, maybe 2 years ago. It's just kind of all over when I remember shit as I'm doing it. I'm like, where the hell? And it's so funny because I have no recollection of certain episodes. Sometimes I luck out on what I titled them or something. But most of the time I'm like, what episode did we talk about Flavor Flav? And he says, mines. What episode was that? I'm like, and I got to go look back. And finally I found.
Watch your step.
Flava's house. Mines.
Mines.
That shit was awesome. But, you know, I try to think of stuff like that. Like Miss Rap Supreme. Guess what episode that was. I have no idea, but I found it.
Step off.
Oh, God, that shit was awesome, wasn't it?
Now, what show was it with the girl that loved juice?
I love juice. That was from Bad Girls Club, I believe.
Bad Girls Club.
And I haven't found that either. I'm like, where the hell is this? And it's an episode called I Love Juice. That's one annoying thing is when we lost Mulberry Old School, a lot of the titles to those old episodes. Do you remember I was like, hey, if anyone wants to name these old episodes, you can. And Adam. Mm-hmm. And Ross, they submitted names of what they thought. And so I went back and I named them. That's all gone. I don't even remember what any of them are.
Oh,
that's
boo.
Too bad.
So if an episode was called I Love Juice, I can't find it now. It's just a number. It's really sad.
That is sad.
I thought the juice one was one of the MTV house people, you know, the groups.
No, it was a Bad Girls. No. Because some of the bad girls knew that girl loved her juice, so they
tainted her juice.
Yeah,
they sabotaged it.
Yeah, they did. It was pretty sad.
It's a free society.
There's a new Bad Girls Club coming on, too.
I'm not watching that.
I'll pass.
But why would you even bother to do it again after the juice stuff? Because it's never going to top that. Remember, we had the Bleach girls, but it didn't top the juice.
No.
They bought house in my juice! It's in my juice!
Oh, my God.
Laura, that girl really hates hot sauce.
Do you want to hear how much she loves juice, Laura?
I want to hear how much she loves juice.
I love juice. Juice makes me happy. It's nothing like a cold cup of juice.
There really isn't, guys.
You know what?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God.
If juice can make someone that happy, then, I have no problem with it. I think everyone should have their juice.
Do we even have a drop of Step Off anymore? Come on. What happened to that
shit?
Man,
we should.
That was way back in the day.
Step off. Step off with the echo. Oh, man.
Who said that?
It was at the female rap show. They were trying to test contest for female rappers.
And you know what?
And when they lost, that was it. I said, look, Donald Trump's, you're fired. Step off.
Yeah, that's like if you got eliminated, you heard that. It's pretty sad.
Oh,
but anyway. Maybe you'll get the special best of show and hear that because it's good stuff. Anybody have anything else to say?
Nope.
I think that's it.
All right, guys. I guess that's it. We'll see you later. Have a good one. Thanks for welcoming us back on your iPod or, your MP3 player or computer or whatever. I don't know.
And vote for Laura.
Vote for me.
Vote for Laura.
And tell us the decree.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
Y'all get your stuff together and get out of our field house right now. Get the hell out of our field house right now.
We're not in your field house.
We're done, jackass. We're through.
All right. I don't feel welcome anymore.
Okay, that works. Let's move on.
Now this is podcasting.
Sometimes cakes fall down.
Poor slow thinking man.
You idiot.
What are you doing?
Answer, jerk face.
Don't bust my balls.
We're gonna go for a little ride.